participate in a Don and Mike Show contest?
How about this?
You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And so you see, the new world is inevitable.
It's what?
Inevitable.
One more time?
Inevitable! Things are inevitably going to change!
Right.
Inevitable!
Let me just put you lads, you chaps, on alert right now.
Yeah.
For what? We're going to have a mystery guest here in a few seconds.
Oh!
Ooh. And I want to tell you to raise your mystery guest expectations.
Oh. You mean you're overselling it?
Keeping in mind our last mystery guest,
or are you overselling it?
Mike O'Mara, you're grounded.
That's Alan Thicke, ladies
Alan
and gentlemen.
Was Alan Thicke a mystery guest?
No, he was a real guest.
He was a real guest. He could have been a mystery guest.
I know who the last mystery guest was.
Who?
Andre Johnson.
Oh, that's right. It was RuPaul.
Was that the last one?
Yeah, that was the last mystery guest, RuPaul.
So do we raise our expectations from RuPaul?
Oh, Christ, yes.
Really?
Huh. Now, here's what you must wonder. Am I being honest with you or giving you the poker face?
Oh, please don't do that. That would be so cruel.
You're being honest.
I'm telling you, this will be the best mystery guest of all time.
This will be, we will give you the best mystery guest we can, consistent with quality.
Best mystery guest of all time.
This is going to be, without question, the best mystery guest of all time.
Now, take this with a grain of salt or with my level of cynicism.
What say you, mystery guest?
Or perhaps I'm just being totally flat square out honest, as Joe Theismann would say.
Flat square honest with us.
Yes. Yeah. You will both love the mystery guest. It's just a question of who will love the mystery guest more.
Wow. Buzz, I cannot help but be excited.
Me too. I'm ready.
So let's start the show.
How long do we have to wait for the mystery guest?
Oh, just like 5 minutes or something.
Oh, in the first break?
Yeah.
We can do that.
Yeah, that's
so exciting.
That's mystery guest time.
I am so excited.
And the current time, 2 minutes after the hour. Hello, everyone. This is Michael Scott, Chris Kringle, Happy Kwanzaa, and let's not forget our Jewish friend, Hanukkah Shannon.
Milburn Multidenominational Drysdale here.
Three completely lame groaners.
Lame on me and lame on Granny. Granny.
What does Condoleezza Rice like to participate in when she goes to a bar? Glarioki.
Oh, my.
You know, everybody
I'm
loves
I'm still it. Hanging in there with it.
Everybody loves the Condoleezza Rice glare jokes. Just
sure.
Like that. But you don't know yet if they came from the service or from Rob.
Mm. Right.
Sometimes he'll trip you up and throw one in there.
This is true.
Could be a trick.
Hello.
Hello.
Stand by for the 12 days of Christmas and toys for tots.
Very good.
I'm Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale, awaiting anxiously the second groaner.
What rock band do large, hairy, gay men love?
Which rock band?
Bear O'Smith. I'm Scott Shannon. I don't write them. I just read
That's
them.
That's right, Scott.
Hi, and I'm Milburn Drysdale.
I'm disappointed in you.
I'm sorry.
Mike O'Mara.
Aerosmith.
Noted funny man.
I'm very, very sorry.
You're not hurting my feelings. You're hurting the feelings
you're
of...
You're not mad at me. You're mad at the dirt.
Of either the group of riders at the prep sheet that we don't play for, or Big Head back here in the corner. Now, get into character.
All right, here I am. I'm back and ready for a groaner.
Yay.
Number three.
Yay.
How is Granny?
Granny is just fantastic. She comes down to the Commerce Bank of Beverly Hills quite frequently, and I always greet her with a, hello, Granny.
Yeah, I see fish.
There's my lady.
I never get that when they play that tape.
I don't understand what they're talking about.
She likes fish.
Yeah.
So what?
She
so
sees
do
fish.
I.
She sees fish.
Yeah, I see fish.
In her sleep.
I see fish.
Right.
And that, as a matter of fact, is my brand new diet.
Is it really?
The seafood diet. I see food and I eat it.
Where's that third groaner?
Is
this.
That was an ad lib from me, Michael Scott Shannon.
Touche, Mr. Shannon.
What museum features exhibits of dumb blonde bimbos? What museum features exhibits of dumb blonde bimbos?
What?
The Anna Nicole Smithsonian.
Hey, now.
Yeah. Hey, now.
Now.
Okay.
Wow.
Now.
Hello.
It's time for the quiz game.
Wow.
Sweeping the nation. Everybody. Who wrote that? Who we go to yesterday first? Mike, were you up first yesterday?
Were you up first or was I?
I don't remember, but
well, go to Buzz first.
I'm certain it's Rob.
Buzz is certain that those were written by Rob and Mike.
It's a tough one today. I'm going to go with the original joke sheet, the service.
Robbie?
I'm not guilty. It's a joke, sir.
Right.
Second day in a row, I've been right.
You know me.
I know you.
Way to go, Mike.
Even when you're trying to dupe us, I know you.
See, that's why I mentioned that thing. He throws in that glare thing about Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah, but he would have made it funnier.
Hello!
Would he?
Not always. Hi, Julia.
Hello.
Hi, John Kerry, too. Hi, John Kerry.
Oh, hi there.
Tony Soprano.
Okay.
Hi, Dynamite.
We appreciate it.
Appreciate it. I know. And Jerry Lewis.
Hello.
Burt Reynolds.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
There we go.
And
here we go.
It's a true story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of fate and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
How have you been?
And will you
how
quit looking
been?
At me?
How have you been?
I'm looking at me.
Sorry, man.
Freaking me out, man.
Freaking me out, dude.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Let's lay some rubber and all the ships to sea.
Okay, Fonzie.
Marilyn Monroe approves of their program. Don Geronimo and Mike Eyes O'Mara.
Yeah. Thank you, Rob. Hey, I got you. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi there. Don and Mike Show. New episode on this Thursday.
Thursday 1-2-0-2-0-4.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
Hi there, Buzz. And hi, everybody. Let's get retarded. Don and Mike Show, Thursday, December 2nd.
All right.
20-04 from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636 from Canada, from Mexico. Rob picked that lineup.
Oh, okay.
Looks like mystery guest.
Ooh, I'm so excited.
Yay. Canada, Mexico, 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C., 202-432-1067. And the official website of our show is donandmikewebsite.com.
Wonderful. I guess we can't overhear Rob.
Is this the mystery guest?
The mystery guest is having some trouble dialing in. We should have her presently.
Well, you'll figure it out with the voice right away.
Sure, of course. Even disguised, we'd figure that out.
Unless the disguise is like this.
Well, now, let me just also...
Working for the world tonight.
Let me also say...
You're crazy.
Is it possible that Rob said that on purpose?
No.
Because remember last time... Shut up, Buzz. Remember last time, RuPaul talked in his Andre Johnson voice.
He did.
So as to fool you
RuPaul,
out.
RuPaul, gender doesn't count when you're talking about RuPaul.
Fool you out. Fake you out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's... Okay. It's a woman.
I'm guessing...
It's a girl.
Just based on what Rob just said, having trouble calling in, I'm guessing elderly. Right away.
I don't want to say, Mike.
That's a tip. That is a good
That's a hint. I don't want to say.
You don't have to. I know we have to do our own sleuthing, but now I'm aware that it's probably an older woman.
All right, while we're waiting for the mystery guest, here's just another chapter in why I am just an idiot moron. Oh, well, hold on. See if that's the mystery guest.
It's exciting.
Then I'll tell you how I burned my throat last night.
Oh.
Because I'm so smart.
You burned your throat?
Yeah. I got home, and my wonderful Connie Honey, is that the mystery guest?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, the light went off, and I thought it was.
Sure. What is the deal with this mystery guest?
So, I get home, and my wife, who doesn't normally cook, has actually done a great thing. She's gotten out the
crock pot. Mm. And she's got a London broil in there. Ooh. And she's put some marinade and some teriyaki.
Yum, yum.
Wow. And I go over, and this is just so soft and juicy that I slice, and I'm slicing, and it's just falling off that perfect way. I'm just slicing.
Cooking all day.
Inside the crock pot, right?
That's
and
tender.
I get these nice strips, almost bacon-like strips,
right,
of this London broil. And as I'm going to bring it to the table, I think, you know what I need? I need some of that juice. So I go back, and I get a big tablespoon, and I pour it all over. Now, keep in mind, the crock pot has been on high since my wife left.
Right.
I sit down at the table. It was not the fact that the meat was hot and physically hot. It was hot like meat is.
Right.
But this sauce, which had been almost at a boiling level, and because I am just a senseless idiot, I must have put 5 or 6 tablespoons of this red hot, and red hot by temperature, I mean,
right.
Really, on this, and didn't even think about it. Took the first big strip, and you know me, the way I eat, the way most guys eat, you get home. I don't want to, like, I've got the strip of meat. I don't want to cut it into little pieces right away.
No.
I just want to take the first strip,
eat,
shove it in my mouth.
You're hungry.
And enjoy it.
You need to be fed.
I get this strip of meat in my mouth, and it is freaking burning. And I start doing this thing where you go, whoa, 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 whoa. And then.
Did you look like the wagon train driver in Dances with Wolves?
I've never seen that movie, Mike.
There is one definitive. Now, I know I'm going obscure here, but bear with me. There's one scene where he's being taken out to the post, the outpost, where he's going to be all by himself.
I did see Waterworld, I did see The Postman, if it matters.
This is this really gross guy, and one of the scenes, he's like frying bacon over the campfire, and he puts it in his mouth before it's cooled down, and he's like dancing it around his mouth, and that's a little visual that I got.
That would be, and sadly, as I was mentioning, I've seen almost all those stupid Kevin Costner movies. That's the one that I won't sit through.
Come on, man. The reason it felt so good is that all the fat that was in the London broil had rendered down into the sauce, and nothing holds heat like beef fat.
So I'll just tell you exactly what happens. Rather than spit it out or think, you know, get it out of my mouth in some way, I involuntarily did that thing where I did it was a noodle, and all the way down my throat. And as soon as it goes down my throat, I feel right away, I go over to the sink. I do the thing that my wife hates the most. I put my mouth up right. I turn on the water right underneath. I'm like,
with the steam coming out of your ears,
burning so much because I'm such an idiot. And I'm thinking,
was there a train whistle sound effect?
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire.
So I sit back down. I sit back down at the table. And now I've got to let this stuff cool off.
Yeah.
With the little cartoon steam whistle above your head. And why is it that, you know, when you're eating food, hot food, that you don't just wait 5 minutes? You do this idiotic thing where you get the food up to your mouth and you go like this. You go.
Right. You blow on it.
Yeah, like that's going to, like you're Mr. Freaking Freeze, and all of a sudden the temperature's going to go down 70 degrees. So what happens is I get the second piece of this in my mouth, and Christ, it's still hot.
Yeah. Right.
At this point, what I do is I just spit it out.
Good move.
Right? Because my throat is still feeling this way.
Right.
The problem is I spit it out. I spit it on the floor. The dogs come over, and I say to the dogs, no, don't eat that, don't eat that. Daddy says don't eat that, but it's too late because they're dogs, and
they get burned.
They smell it. Well, only Colonel Klink, the big dog, is the only one that got the piece of meat,
sure. Right?
And he got it, scooped it up, ate it, and then gave me a look. You know, dogs have brains the size of peas, yet on some level, I truly believe that I interact better with my dogs than I do with the humans that I live with.
Sure.
He looks at me as if to say, Dad, or the voice that I use for my German Shepherd, like, Dad, I'm not stupid. Why did you have me eat something that was going to burn the hell out of
like
my mouth?
Like you've done something to him. Yeah. Why did you do that to
me? He gives me this look, and he doesn't make the dog thing where he moves his head. He just gives me the look, then turns, goes over to his water bowl. He has his own water bowl.
and hits the water,
and,
too?
And goes like crazy on it.
Sure.
Goes crazy on it. So I don't think anything else of this. The rest of the evening is fine.
Good.
I enjoy the rest of the dinner, have a conversation with the wife. I win the argument over what are we going to watch, CSI or Law and Order. We watch Law and Order. I fall asleep because I'm a schlub. I finally win that battle, but she has to wake me up because I'm sleeping.
Right.
I get up this morning, and I go, boy, I feel good. Feel good. Ready to start the new day. Mm-hmm. Sat up and went, oh, my God.
Oh,
I'm getting sick again.
Right.
And I go into the bathroom, and I'm looking in the mirror, and all these thoughts are going through my mind like, I have had this goddamn cold / flu
right.
for 3 weeks, and Buzz yesterday mentions to me in the bathroom where we have our best conversations.
Yeah.
Buzz says, hey, I want to give you the warning. I'm getting a real bad sore throat.
Mm-hmm. Are you sick again?
Yesterday. I have a little bit of a cold, a little stuffy.
I'm sorry. He told me not to mention that, Mike, because you get flipped out. I just remembered that, Buzz. I just remembered that.
Jesus Christ.
So this is what I think. This morning, it's 6 o'clock. I'm in there washing my face, and I'm thinking, oh, Christ.
Didn't you have it before?
I started to come down with something, and it never successfully took hold. And then it went away, and now I have just a simple cold, I think.
How you doing, Rob?
I never felt better.
All right.
So I am standing in front of the mirror. No, but Mike, here's my point on this. I'm in front of the mirror.
You thought you were sick, but it was a burn.
And then I realized, wait, hold on. I didn't catch anything from Buzz. I feel fantastic. I'm just stupid that I put that hot meat down my throat, this big long strip of meat, and just let it just get a free ride, like almost like one of those rides at the beach. Are you flipped out about that? That Buzz has a sore throat?
No.
Are sure?
No, I'm thinking about it. I always do. I'm thinking about it right now. I'm actually concerned.
I can see you thinking about it.
Well, the same thing happens to me that always happens to me.
The holiday.
I will get mine on Christmas.
Well,
you all are healthy.
Here's the trade-off.
I'd rather be sick at work.
Here's the trade-off.
I would rather be sick at work.
I have been, and it sucks.
Yeah,
I know.
It sucks. I guess if you're not at work, you can lie in bed.
But anyway,
the biggest holiday of the year.
I'm not. The good news is you don't have to send the cards and letters. I'm not sick.
Good.
I'm just sick.
You just
sick.
Burned your throat.
I'm sick in the head.
And does it hurt swallowing now?
Yeah.
Or has it? That must have been a horrible burn.
This is how a lot of us damage our esophagus and end up having to take the reflux medicine. You know, like
by hot food.
Yeah, that's one way you can damage your esophagus by swallowing something that's too hot.
Fellows, I'm sure that I'll be fine. Let's play our game.
Okay. And do we have the mystery guest now?
We do have the mystery guest on the telephone. We will keep it to 20 questions. 10 for Mike, 10 for Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
Fellows, I told you. And now it's up to you to decide if I'm kidding or not. This is the best mystery guest we've ever had. And I don't know which one of you will enjoy the fact that we finally have secured a fantastic mystery guest more, Buzz or Mike.
All right, very good.
Wow. So, mystery guest, I'll ask you to only answer my colleagues' questions with yes or no answers. Let's now say hello to the mystery guest. Hi, mystery guest.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, mystery guest.
Now,
hi.
Let me just say, you don't know if that's a fake voice or not.
No.
And we will start.
But it's obviously a woman.
Or so you think.
Really?
We will start with Buzz.
Yes, ma'am. Would we know you from television?
Sometimes I'm on television as well, yes.
That's one correct, and now we go to Mike. Mike.
Mystery guest, are you known as a sex symbol?
As a sex symbol?
Yeah.
I'll answer that one, yes.
Ooh, thanks.
Now again, I'm answering the questions. Buzz, I thought Phyllis Diller was sexy.
Okay.
Yeah. Buzz.
Have we seen you in any kind of controversial video recently?
No.
No, that's right. Three questions to Mike for question number four.
Mystery guest, is your fame primarily in television or feature films?
Mike, yes or no only, please.
No.
And let's go to Buzz. Let's go to Buzz. Buzz.
Do we know you for comedy or drama?
Buzz.
Yes, I'm sorry. Do we know you for comedy?
Sometimes, yeah.
And I would agree that sometimes, yes. Sometimes, absolutely, yes. Mike.
Mystery guest, are you a blonde?
Yes, I'm very blonde.
Buzz.
Do you have a show currently on primetime network television?
Absolutely.
Mike.
Man.
Mike.
One.
Anybody counting here?
Oh, yes, seven. We're up to seven questions.
Okay.
Oh,
this is your seventh, then. You got three more.
I hate to do this, especially with a woman.
Go ahead.
Mystery guest, are you over the age of 35?
No.
Buzz.
Is your current show a sitcom?
No.
Very true, mystery guest. Mike, you have two questions left.
Mystery guest, have you, at any time, or are you, married to someone who is also famous?
No.
I would agree. No, mystery guest. And this may be the best mystery guest we have ever had. And now I know why Alex Trebek is really such a jerk.
Yeah.
It's so great,
you know,
to know
it's the
so
answer.
Great to know the
We're not
answer.
Asking good questions today.
Yes, you are.
We are?
Yes, Buzz. I think you're on number nine here.
Are you on Desperate Housewives?
No.
Mike, number nine.
Mystery guest, are you on a crime show?
No.
Okay, now I will give you...
That's number 11.
Okay, then I'll give you each a bonus clue.
All right.
And one guess.
Mm-hmm.
She is super. That's all I can say. She is super. Mike, I need a final answer. Because it's time for the reveal.
I thought you were going to get 20 questions.
Well, I mean, it was like...
We had 11.
Between the two of you, though.
Right.
That's
super.
Well, Robbie?
You said 20 total, 10 each.
Yeah, right. So that's you got more than you bargained for.
No, that was 11 total. Buzz and I both had.
Oh, but really? Anyway. Oh, are you kidding?
I thought you were so close at some point, and
super.
Then what happened?
Super. All right, well, then continue. I apologize. Do they have nine more left, then?
I don't know.
Mystery guest.
Okay, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I'm just keeping track.
Okay.
Mystery guest, have you played a...
Well, you said you didn't.
Have you played a superhero?
No.
Well, you said super.
Look, someday you'll realize how smart I really am with these clues.
All right.
Buzz.
Do you play the love interest of a superhero?
No.
Oh, you dope. Mike.
We're not dopes. We don't know the answer.
Super. I know the answer.
I know.
She is super. Mike.
Mystery guest. Have you ever been a model?
Yes.
Mike.
Can I guess?
If you think you know, Mike, you can guess. Otherwise, you're out of the game.
Is it Carmen Electra?
Mike, you're out of the game.
Oh, damn it.
Buzz.
Ooh, let's see. Have you... Wow, I'm still stuck on that super clue.
You're never going to be able to finish this round without Mike, are you?
I don't think so. No. Are we ready for the reveal? You're chomping at the bit.
Yeah, I can't take this anymore.
Can I just say, the best mystery guest we've ever had...
Sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, she is super. She's a supermodel. Hey, you freaking guys, it's Heidi Klum.
She's on you.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Heidi Klum.
Fantastic.
Hi, y'all.
Hi there.
Did I lie to you?
Did I make a really sexy voice for y'all or no?
You did a fine job.
I love you. Supermodel Heidi Klum.
We love you.
Hi.
Didn't I say who would love her more, Mike or Buzz?
My favorite.
Maybe you guys have never seen me before, and maybe you're just, playing nice.
No, we've seen you. Heidi, I mean, really, you are, if you want to know who wins the contest, I do.
Heidi
Klum is my all-time favorite supermodel.
And don't you think
out question.
You.
And hey, a great mystery guest that you played along with us.
Yeah, and Heidi, wonderful. What you were doing the regular American accent, weren't you?
Yes.
That was well done. That's what threw me. That's why I was, of course, immediately.
I think I might have to switch to that voice. I kind of like that voice better than my voice.
You did. Oh, no. You did a
I'm going to talk like that from now on.
Heidi, good. Heidi Klum, didn't you just have a baby?
I did. She's almost 7 months now.
Congratulations.
And
are you
one of those beautiful Hollywood women like Leah Remini who has gotten your figure back immediately?
I was pretty lucky. I mean, I didn't really gain that much weight when I was pregnant, so.
Neither did Leah.
And I eat pretty healthy, so I didn't have too much problems.
So does Leah. Buzz, what pictures are you looking at now?
I'm looking at HeidiKlum.com, I guess.
Would you stop it? Talk to her for a second, guys.
Did you got my website?
Yes. Oh, man.
Like it.
Yo, like it.
Please. Talk to her as an individual, Buzz, not an object.
Try to make me stop looking.
Let me mention that Heidi's got a new book out, Heidi Klum's Body of Knowledge, Eight Rules.
I just came back from a book signing. I was at Barnes & Noble signing for a little while.
Eight rules of model behavior. So, Mike, this is the first time we've ever had a supermodel on the show.
I believe this is our very first supermodel. I'm very, very excited.
Didn't you have a part when we answered the question about TV? You were on that show with Michael J. Fox, right?
Yes, but he wasn't a superhero on the show.
No, that's right.
No,
he wasn't.
He wasn't.
No, you're a supermodel.
Was I the girlfriend of a superhero?
No. Well,
I mean, he kind of is my superhero, but, you know, he's not like a, you know.
No, I meant you were a supermodel. Mm-hmm. I one time, I'll just throw this in. Mm-hmm. I was in a hot tub one time with Michael J. Fox.
Yes, I remember when you went out to out
with a bathing
skiing.
Suit on. Or
a bathing suit on. He was a cool guy. I enjoyed spending some time with him. But these guys, Buzz, would you just take your eyes off the internet for a second? The woman is on the phone.
I know, and it's delightful to be able to listen to her and see her at the same time.
That's funny.
Buzz is excited.
Buzz is like wow. Buzz is like the guy that brings a little TV to the football stadium.
Did you guys see my show last night?
That's your reality show?
Yes. Did you tune in? Did you look?
Project Runway. I saw a promo for it. I didn't see the show itself, but I saw a promo for it. And
Bravo.
Project Runway.
Yes, it was so exciting because, you know, I've been working on the show for so long now, you know, partly producing it. And, you know, we filmed until sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning. And, you know, seeing it last night for the first time, it was pretty cool.
Heidi, I was, and this is a legitimate question. I was talking to somebody about modeling. What is the age range as far as when is somebody, if they're thinking about getting into it, with the way it goes nowadays, what is the cutoff age? Is it like early 20s, mid-20s, if somebody wants to get into the business? When is it really too late for somebody to start thinking about that?
I mean, I think, you know, you should always try because you truly never know. And, you know, most girls, they start at like 16, 17
right.
years old. But, you know, there is so many, you know, older women, too, that are still modeling for various different creams. And, you know, so it's
yes,
not, I mean,
creams.
The high fashion girls, you
I
know,
like
the girls
creams.
That go on the runway and stuff, they're usually 15, 16 years old.
And, of course, Don and I can still, even though we're, you know, in our mid-40s, we can still be hand models.
And I'll tell you this, that Heidi, long before there was FHM or Stuff Magazine making their list of women,
mm-hmm.
we did it like 8 years ago. We would rate every year women. The
Do
last
we still have our list?
I've got from the last one that I could find here is from 4 years ago.
Okay.
From 4 years ago.
Do we have our separate lists?
Yes, we do.
Oh, I think I'm going to do well on this.
My number one was Jennifer Aniston.
Okay.
At a 9.3. Oh, we grade you women like your pieces of meat. I'm sorry about this. Mike's number one was Kathy Ireland. Kathy Ireland was your number one choice.
That's 4 years ago.
Yep. However, 4 years ago, you had Heidi Klum at number 7.
In my top 10.
I had Heidi Klum.
Where?
Oh, this is embarrassing.
Where? You guys fess up. Give him a hard time, Heidi.
You're going to hate me, honey.
No, that's all right.
No.
I got you in between Lisa Gibbons and Vanna White.
Oh no. So that's just not right.
That was
horrible.
That was many years ago. And I had that whole preconception that you were a supermodel and too good for me thing going.
Hey, is your reality show, The Project Runway, is that like a competition where you vote people off and things like that?
Absolutely, yeah. I'm looking for a designer. So I went all over America trying to find people who are, you know, talented, and I put them on the show. It was hard because a lot of people that came wanted to participate, you know, they didn't really know how to do clothes at all, but they just wanted to be on the show. So, but then I found like 12 really, really good people, and they're on the show, and they're very funny, and they're so talented. So I give them a challenge each week, and then, you know, one person always has to go.
So this is designers, not actual models, right?
No, it's designers. There are models on the show because, you know, someone has to model the clothes,
of
and,
course.
You know, the girl also.
Yes.
The girl that wins with the designer in the end will have a fashion spread shot for Elle magazine, shot by Gilles Ben-Simon, and also will be featured in the fashion show that we're putting on for the winning designer
Heidi?
In February in New York, yeah.
As one beautiful person to another.
Tell me.
Does it not get tiring to walk down the street and know that everywhere you go, people are looking at you and saying, Mike, or in my case, they're saying, you know, my God, you know, hey, there's the guy from the movie Mask. But in your case, you know what I mean.
So what do you do? How do you deal with it all?
Well,
yeah. Mighty Quinn
how do you deal with
Don
it,
Geronimo.
Well,
about being beautiful.
I do what Michael Jackson does. I wear the disguises. But for a girl, because don't know what it's like to be beautiful as a girl. I'm only a beautiful man.
Well, no, I like to call you a pretty man.
Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
And as a pretty girl, Heidi, as a beautiful girl, really sometimes do you try to ugly yourself down so you can go out in public and not be bothered by...
I don't really have to ugly myself down. I just don't have to wear any hair and makeup.
So you can actually, you know, you can get around town and... I guess, will you just spend most of your time in New York City?
Yeah, I live in New York City, I do travel all over the place. But you know, like all that, you know, hair, you know, when they tease your hair up or, you know, all that stuff, that really all of a sudden you become more the person that people are used to seeing or, you know, wearing all that makeup. So that changes you so fast. They're already not wearing too much hair and makeup. You know, that kind of like does it already so people don't notice you that much anymore.
How long have you been doing it? How long have you been modeling?
I've been doing this for 11 years now.
11 years.
Yeah.
And Heidi, are you married?
No, I'm not.
Not married.
No.
What would you say? Don raised the point a second ago. I want to ask you about what would you say to a guy who feels a woman like you is so beautiful she's unapproachable?
Buzz. Calm down.
Well, I think, you know, it doesn't matter, like, what you do as a woman. I think, you know, you should go over to a woman when she kind of, like, invites you in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And you can do that by eye contact. You know, you do look at guys.
Buzz, don't look at her.
I'm making eye contact.
You look slightly a little bit longer, then they know that they are allowed to come over and say something.
Right.
You know?
Right.
All right, honey, I'm going to ask you a very direct question here, and please answer me as honestly as you possibly can. What is, in your mind, an unacceptable waist size on a man?
Waist size?
Yes, something. Your cutoff point.
I don't know.
Your cutoff point where you would say, that's simply too large for me.
Well, I don't know.
Mike, we can help simplify this.
All right.
Are you turned off by a man over 40 inches in waist?
Say if a man has over a 40-inch waist, would that be a turnoff to you?
I don't know.
Okay, she's not answering. That's good.
Would it depend on the man?
I'm not answering that question.
All right, okay. All right. Very good. How do you feel about men who are losing their hair?
Well, my man has no hair.
Oh, really?
No.
So your man is like, now is that because he shaves his head?
Not at all?
Completely bald.
Completely bald.
Everywhere?
Now, who is your man currently, Heidi?
Seal.
That's right. I've heard of him. That's right. Absolutely.
He has no hair.
He doesn't have a 40-inch waist either. I've seen pictures of him.
So, can I ask you a question about Seal?
Tell me. I might not answer it, but tell me.
Well, no, this is a serious question. When you're with him, and we don't do a dirty show anymore. When you're with him, when you're nuzzling or kissing, whatever it is that you do.
Nuzzling.
Oh. You know what I mean.
Nuzzling.
Hugging.
Not nuzzling.
When you're hugging on him.
Canoodling, Buzz.
Nuzzling.
Boy, you are all right.
do you ever lick that that thing on his face?
What?
What? You mean what? You mean
doesn't Seal have that thing on his face like Cornell Stewart does?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Next question.
Sorry. I meant that as a sensual question. I don't think, there's nothing wrong with the guy. I'm just commenting.
That's interesting. How long have you been dating Seal?
For a while.
For a long time?
Yeah.
Do you call him Seal?
Yeah. What else should I call him?
I mean.
Well, do you have like a pet name for him?
No.
Okay. I mean, does he have a pet name for you?
Maybe.
Oh, we don't hear that, though, are we? You can't share that with us?
No.
Oh, that's a drag.
I don't want you to get the wrong impression of me with my last line of questions.
You're a lovely man. I know that you're a lovely man, and I know you mean everything you say in the best possible.
But, just Seal. I mean, doesn't he have a name?
You've never said anything. Now you cannot even stop riding around on it.
Yeah, okay. So, and we won't get the pet name for you.
No.
Can I just say this? That this month he's a Christmas seal?
A Christmas seal. That's very nice. That's wonderful.
What do you mean?
That's like,
you've never heard of
seals? Are like little stamps that are given out at the Christmas holiday.
It's a charity thing. It's like Easter seals.
So what does that mean now?
Well, nothing. It was just a play on words. Yes, a little word play that we were doing there.
It must be an American thing that German doesn't really quite get that.
What part of Germany are you from?
I'm outside of Cologne.
Cologne, Germany.
Yeah. Well, Heidi,
I've been there before.
We've all been to Germany, haven't we?
We have.
I've been to Stuttgart and Frankfurt.
Mm-hmm.
And
I lived in Heidelberg.
Rob, you've been to Munich.
Oh, yeah, and my wife loves Berlin.
Buzz, have you ever been to Germany?
No, I haven't. But I'm wearing cologne.
It's very nice, but I like it better here, and that's why I moved to America.
Well, you're a very first supermodel we've ever had on the show, and you're our best mystery guest.
And isn't that great that she said she loves America more than...
Hey, man, give her a nice round of
love, Heidi.
I love it here, you know, especially in New York City. It's fun. There's people from all over the world, and is cool.
What are your thoughts on, well, not a German, but an Austrian, what are your thoughts on the success of Arnold Schwarzenegger? And do you know Arnold?
I've met him before. I wouldn't say I know him. I've met him, but I think it's great that, you know, he, you know, was able to, you know, do what he's doing in a way.
Mm-hmm. Would you support the amendment to make him president?
I don't know. I don't know too much about, like, exactly how good he is, you know, in the politics and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone who's really good should, you know, run the country, so I don't know how good he is at what he does.
I think
it is amazing that someone from you know, a different country can, you know, do what he's doing. I always thought that, you know, people from America have to do it.
You say your book is Heidi Klum's Body of Knowledge, 8 Rules of a Model. Can you give us one of the rules of your 8 rules of being a model?
Yeah, don't ever take no for an answer.
So don't like you, that's how you handle the you know, somebody that's rejecting you, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
We feel
with everything.
Like you were rejected.
You know?
Like you were ever rejected.
Were
like,
you ever rejected,
of
Heidi?
I think it was always that easy for me. I didn't was born being on a cover of a magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Be honest,
please. I got rejected many times.
When you were growing up, and maybe even when you first started getting modeling, you ever have a guy say you're ugly?
Yeah.
Are you kidding? Oh, no, come on.
Well, I think a lot of times... Well, how tall are you, Heidi?
Pimple face and all those sort of things.
Oh, that's cruel. How tall are you? Was he gay?
I'm 5'9".
5'9"? So did you go through that kind of awkward phase like a lot of supermodels do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
I think we all go through an awkward phase.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we might say that we're still in our awkward phase.
You sound like you are.
Thank you. I'll mention again that Heidi's book, as Mike did, is Heidi Klum's Body of Knowledge,
mm-hmm.
and her new reality series on Bravo, Project Runway. That's Wednesday nights at 10,
yes.
9 Central on Bravo. And Heidi, we do want to thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
Okay, she's a great
show.
A great mystery guest. We'd love to have you.
Please.
Thank you so much.
If you're ever in D.C., stop by the show.
All the best to you.
Okay, and you, Heidi.
Bye.
Bye, Heidi.
Bye.
Man.
There she goes. Heidi Klum.
Heidi Klum, supermodel.
Now, is she not the best mystery guest we've ever had?
Uh-huh. Yes, sir. She is way up there. It was fascinating. Always an interesting interview.
But are you mad at me?
No, I'm not. I'm laughing at you.
Okay, because I mean, just, God, what am I going to say to her? You know, you guys are in love with her.
Yes, I mean, she was what? Number 7 on my list 4 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You know what I take from that is that Germans don't like to take no for an answer.
That's true. That's what you got out of the whole interview.
Yeah, well, she was nice.
Right.
No, she was actually quite charming.
Man, she's pretty.
I didn't know she was German.
Do you think so, Buzz?
Thank you, Andy Hardy.
Anyway, that's Heidi Klum. That's the mystery guest. And never say that we've never had a good mystery guest, because she is a good one.
And when it's our very first supermodel, I feel almost like I've been deflowered.
We got a break. I don't want to hear about that. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I know we played this yesterday at this time, but there's a reason we're playing it again today at this time. I think everybody's not sick of this.
You wrote down your response rather quickly, I thought. I hope it's correct. Let's take a look.
I too.
What is H&R Block? You're right. Your wager, $4,401, taking you up to $14,401. You have a $1 lead over Ken Jennings right now. And his final response was... FedEx. His wager was... $56.01.
Right.
He winds up in second place with $87.99. And Nancy Zerf, congratulations. You are indeed a giant killer.
Winner.
A new Jeopardy champion. $14,401. Ken, take a look at the audience. The audience is paying tribute to not only Nancy, but to you as well.
Oh, for you.
Don't they? Well, too bad for Ken, but he's going home with a lot of money. $2.5 million. Congratulations, young man. Nancy will be back tomorrow to defend for the first time. We will see her, two new players, and you then. So
long. All right. I played this as well yesterday. And coming out of this break, we had the guy that was Ken Jennings' friend on the show, Jeopardy.
Nobody is better at being humble. Nobody. The Don and Mike Show.
Let me just say this. We are great. There's a reason that we're doing that whole Jeopardy thing again today. Because why talk to the friend of Ken Jennings?
Right.
And frankly, why talk to Ken Jennings when you can talk to the giant killer?
Oh, wow.
Here's Nancy Zirk. Hey, Nancy.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, let's give her a round of applause. Thank you for joining us on the show. I know you're busy. You've been interviewed by, well, this must be your the lowest stop on the on the media trail for you, for
not
you to be on.
Not all, the greatest thrill of all, of course.
Oh, thank you, Nancy. But that's so kind of you.
Knock it off. So, you beat the nerd. Here's the first question that I have. The first question I have to ask you. I believe that you were on the up and up, that you won fair and square. As it turns out, you lost last night.
Yeah, wasn't that a drag?
Yeah, but, you know, don't worry about it. You beat the guy.
I mean, you're in the history books. So that's the important thing.
Here's the thing.
He's saying, oh, you're going to be on a Trivial Pursuit card.
Yeah, and that's exactly what's going to happen, right.
Do you think that there was any chance that, like, they were just real sick of Ken Jennings and said to him, like in Quiz Show, listen, no matter what happens, you know, you're going down on this question about H&R Block?
Not at all. They run that show so tightly. The security is huge. They keep the contestants completely away from everybody else. There's no, you know, interplay between Alex and the contestants or anything. I mean, you don't talk to the writers, you don't talk to the producers, you don't talk to anybody except the contestant coordinators, and they're with you every moment. So there's no way.
You know, we were discussing, as everybody was, after he was finally bumped off the show, that we all were in agreement that we perceived a noticeable joy in Alex Trebek, that Alex seemed genuinely giddy that Ken had finally been knocked off. Now
you're a giant killer, Nancy!
Now that you're off the show, and you can probably speak a little more freely about it, did you sense the same thing, that he was a little giddy about the fact that the guy's run was finally over?
No, I was in such a complete fog. I really wasn't paying much attention to anything. I just couldn't believe what had actually happened. It was a very peculiar experience, very surreal, very much like going through the looking glass. You know, Alex was... As I say, there's no real interaction. I mean, he comes out right before the show, you do the show, and then he leaves.
Is it going on that show and knowing what you were up against is, I would imagine that's got to be a little intimidating, knowing that you've got, like, the greatest quiz show player in history.
Can you imagine? First of all, I tried out for the show back in April before Ken had ever shown up. Sorry, my daughter's playing with some toys here. It got me distracted.
Well, listen to how real and down to earth she is. Unlike Ken Jennings.
So I went home after passing the test, and I thought, wow, this is great. I'm finally doing it. I'm finally going to be on Jeopardy. This is really exciting. And so I was watching the show night after night, practicing along, and this guy Ken shows up one night, and he didn't go away. And then I think it was July, I think whenever they aired the 30th or 32nd episode, a woman in my area had been a contestant that week and wrote an article in the paper about it, and she said that they had taped it back in early March. And I thought, oh, well, no problem. He'll be long gone by the time I get there.
So you get there, and...
And everybody is sitting around saying, okay, is Ken still there? Is Ken still there? And finally, another contestant that had been booked for the previous day and not used came walking up, and everybody went, okay, is Ken still there? And she said, yeah, he's...
Oh, boy.
Everybody's face fell.
Oh, my God. He had said when he was interviewed, he had said that he went out of his way, how did he put it, to be over the top, like almost to be too nice. Did you sense that he was trying really hard?
It looked like he wanted to rip your arm out of the socket when he
finally lost.
Yeah.
He is every bit as nice as he seems. He's very gracious. In fact, the first day that I went in to tape the show, they taped five shows in one day. And I was one of three local people, so I had a hunch that I wasn't going to get used. And I didn't. So I was able to sit there and watch all these other players and watch Ken all day and have lunch with him and some of the other contestants and get to know him. And
they always talk about the buttons, you know, when that's the key. When you've got the actual, that sometimes I've heard people that go on Jeopardy that say, I thought I was hitting my button
on
time.
It's only the dumb losing people, though, that always say it's the buzzer.
Didn't work.
But Ken said that a lot of his success was due to his reflexes and the way he was able to ring in at exactly the right time.
Well, you showed him.
Did you ever feel shut out?
That's exactly right. There's a series of a string of lights around the board that you don't see on TV.
Okay.
And they've got the you know, all the clues over to one side, and then there's a huge video monitor in the middle of the set that you never see on TV, and then to the left, they post your scores. So you're sitting there watching the clue, You read the clue, and then you have to watch for these lights to come on. And you can't ring in until the lights come on.
You know, it's
early, you get locked out.
Okay,
now I get it.
You know, and they should show that for everybody at home.
Yeah.
Because as you're describing that, I'm thinking that's like trying to concentrate when you're watching a football game, when they've got the score up in the corner, and you've got the other scores, and you've got the crawl on the bottom of the screen.
Exactly what it's like.
They
and
should incorporate
really like
that.
It's like a three-ring circus.
Wow.
You know, the game starts, and they tape it in real time, so you strap in, and it takes off, and it moves fast.
So it actually, Nancy, correct me if I'm wrong, it's a timing deal.
Exactly.
Where you see the lights and you have to, you know, come in, and if you come in earlier than that, which I imagine people do, you get blocked out completely?
You get locked out for a short period of time, but
it's just
enough time that somebody else can get in.
Right. So you finally took the bastard down. How did it?
Can't call it that. He's really just a great guy.
I'm just a disc jockey. I can call you don't know that he is that like I do, but really, if you could tell us, and you sound like a very nice, very down to earth, very centered woman. If you could just please tap into the selfish part of your soul for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it happened in the moment that you won or when they turned the cameras off, but when you really finally realized that you were Rocky Balboa and you just beat the hell out of Apollo Creed, really, did you have a moment where you just either to yourself or actually out loud just went, you know?
Yeah!
I mean...
I did.
Yeah,
sure.
Good!
Yeah, they said, okay, now go change your clothes, get ready for the next show. They sent the audience away, which is odd. They usually send them away after the third show tapes. But
right.
This was just the second show of the day, but everything shut down. They sent the audience off. They had people interviewing me. They had people interviewing Ken, and then they said, go change your clothes, and we're just going to send you all off to lunch. And I said, okay, where do I change? And they said, in Ken's room.
Oh,
I went into this little changing room, and I started changing my clothes into another outfit, and all of a sudden it hit me, and I just kind of went,
ah!
Good for you.
And on the other hand, it must have been quite the... So I guess you had to come back after lunch and tape another show, and that's the show where you were eliminated, right?
Exactly.
That had to be an amazing...
What happened, too, is there was such a strange shift in the dynamics of the group. I mean, these people were sitting there going, oh, I have to play Ken, oh. And as soon as he lost, they all kind of went, now I can win! And he just went way over the top.
Well, you, listen, I would say
they
you
were all charged, and I was in a fog. It was just unfortunate, and I didn't get my board. It was just, the Double Jeopardy round was not my board.
What is your board?
What is your specialty?
What are your categories?
What do you like?
Yeah.
I have a lot of them. I like, you know, history. I like literature. fashion history. Broadway, although I got knocked out. Can you believe I misspelled Tevye? I own...
You miss...
play dozens of times.
What is the spelling... For everybody that might be a Fiddler on the Roof fan, what is the spelling of Tevye?
T-E-V-Y-E, which
okay.
I know, which okay. I saw... In fact, if you...
I would have said
watched,
T-E-V-I-A.
It just came out wrong. I just misspoke. I was seeing T-E-V-Y-E in my head, and when it came out T-E-V-Y-A, and Alex says no, I kind of went, oh, you see me go, huh? I mean, I really thought I had said the correct spelling, but I hadn't.
But you do have the definitive story for the grandchildren.
Yes, you do.
My God.
Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah. You know what I say? You are. You're the people's champion.
Absolutely.
Because there have to be enough people like me, and I know you're going to say he's a nice guy, and he probably is, but
you know, listen, you hated
after,
the guy.
After a while, it was like, okay, nerd. No,
we're ready for him to be fun.
Yes, you're smart. We know you're smart. You look like Howdy Doody. I love it.
And she is grounded because, Nancy, really, I think you put it best when you said, yes, you will be a question in Trivial Pursuit somewhere down the road.
Yeah, someday, no matter what I do with my life, my obituary will say, Nancy Zerg, she beat Ken Jennings.
Oh, and the last thing I want to ask you, because he's going to get some type of endorsement deal out of this.
Right.
Has anybody approached you yet?
No.
Are you kidding?
No, nobody's approached me at all. In fact, H&R Block is offering him free financial services for life, and I haven't heard a word out of him, and I'm the one who knew it.
Wow. Hey,
that's right.
That's true. That's a good point.
You know what? There should be like, I can't think of another one now besides H&R Block. That's how good they are at marketing.
Oh,
but
yeah, what's the other? They have a competition.
There's like, Taxes R Us or something like that.
there's
got to be some place like that that would scoop you up. That would just
scoop
you up.
I'm open.
Yeah. Make me an offer, somebody. I'm out.
Charles DeWitt or something like
also,
that.
Also, I could see you in a commercial for like an anti-pesticide spray. I'm thinking about like the old Raid ads,
right,
where it would be you walking through the kitchen, and as you stomp on all of the bugs, they go, "She's a giant killer."
That's why you want to be a manager. You want to be a personal manager.
I could get you in some great ads like that, Nancy.
Who knows?
But you're back now. You were with your kids. You're back just to your regular life. How are your friends and your neighbors treating you?
I'm not back yet. I'm still in New York.
Oh, so you haven't done it yet.
I fly home tomorrow. I've had quite a number of calls. A lot of people that I haven't talked to for a long time have called, and a lot of people I've never heard of have called. It's been really interesting.
You live in a metropolitan area, or do you live in a small town?
I live in a small city, about 100,000 people, Ventura, California. It's about an hour north of L.A.
You never know. You might get a little parade. You never know. They might do it for you. If you, you know, if you lived in some place like Mayberry, you'd probably definitely get a parade, but who knows what will happen.
It was very nice talking to you, Nancy. Congratulations. Thank you for coming on our show. I know you're being pulled 8,000 different ways.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us? Well, you seem like such a nice lady. You probably won't. It's nothing about Ken Jennings.
What?
With all of the interviews that you've done, all the morning TV shows and everything, was there one person that you met in all of these TV dealings who perhaps didn't live up to what you thought they would be?
Oddly enough, no.
No?
It was surprising to me. It was all day yesterday. We were going from 6 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. And
nobody?
From 6 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And we were doing Good Morning America. And I mean, they were sending us all over the place. Poor Ken and I did, I think, 25 different satellite feeds for stations across the country.
Wow.
Nobody was
a jerk.
Everybody was really great. Everybody, the technicians, the makeup people, the people that we talked to. I mean, it was a real kick meeting Diane Sawyer and Deborah Norville and Charlie Gibson. And
do you have any aspirations as far as any kind of television or any future game shows, anything like that?
I don't have any idea. It's all still so strange. And the weirdest part of the whole thing is they send, you know, this happened 3 months ago. So they say, this is incredible, this is huge, you're going to be massively famous, and now go home and you can't tell.
That's got to be amazing.
I promise this will be the last question.
Okay.
Did you tell anybody, if they swore you to secrecy, now you could say, because they kept the secret.
I told four people.
Who'd you tell?
I told my husband,
uh-huh.
I told my daughter,
right,
who is the one that's the most impressed.
How old is she?
She's almost 8.
Oh, good for her. All right. Well, hey, good for
that's
her.
Talk about
a great kid.
Yeah.
Told my mother-in-law, and I told one friend that we've known for years and years and years, who, back when I was waiting to get the call to be a contestant, that Ken was already on the air.
Right.
She said, hey, maybe you'll be the one that beats Ken.
Wow.
So you called her.
Oh, that's right. Funny.
Well, that's, you know, it's good that your kid was able to keep the secret. I mean, I have
a seven-year-old, and that's a miracle as far as I'm concerned.
No, she's no dummy. I told her, you know, if she told anybody, then we wouldn't get the money, and right up.
All right, that's a good answer. Elizabeth, it was nice talking to you, Nancy.
Hey, it's a pleasure being there. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Thanks.
Wow.
Can you put me over to the producer? Can I talk
absolutely
to you?
Absolutely.
Beth Ann, you bet. Hold on a second.
Thanks, Jeff.
You're very welcome. Thank you, honey.
Now it makes you hate him even more, doesn't it, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So nice. Look how nice she is.
You know what she said that was cool? It just wasn't my board.
That's Jeopardy. That's Jeopardy speak.
That really
right
is.
That's contestant jargon.
That is. Oh, it wasn't my board.
Wasn't my board.
He's a pro.
What would my board be? Like, primary color?
You'd have a board.
Pop culture.
You would have a board.
What
you
is
would have, you would have pop music. You would have the NFL.
My board would be like the Wall Street Journal.
What is two?
I have your board. All right, I'll go around. How many categories are there usually?
Six.
All right, I got your board.
Too many categories.
Oh, hey, NFL quarterbacks. All right, pop music.
Yeah.
Book of lists.
you're running out.
Shake and bake chicken.
You couldn't get five questions about shake and bake.
I got four.
Coca-Cola company.
What?
The Coca-Cola company.
I'm telling you.
And modern board dance.
Okay, shut up. That's your joke.
I know Buzz's board, too.
What's Buzz's board?
Sex, drugs, rock and roll.
Hello, it. Brian.
Yeah.
Brian, Don and Mike show. Hello, Brian.
How you doing?
Hi, we're doing great, Brian.
Hey, I have a proposition for you.
Yeah, what is it?
Okay, listen, hear me out.
Okay.
Okay, my fiance and myself, we're getting married in June, and she wants to go
Incidentally, you notice how on this show when someone says I'm getting married to Jude, nobody jumps up, even the happily married guys, no one jumps up and says congratulations.
Yeah, why?
Why
bother?
It kind of lays back like, okay.
Okay.
You want to play those cards? Go ahead.
I appreciate that. Here's the deal.
Yeah, all right.
Thanks, Mike. So
you know what? Rob and I are sitting here shaking our head because we think you might be trouble.
I'm going to hear this.
I just think he's dumb.
I might be.
Yeah, you are. Go ahead.
Okay, anyway. Well, my head isn't shaped like a block. But
come on.
Check this up.
Come on.
So we have a deal to go to Hawaii. Okay?
Yes.
But I don't want to go to Hawaii. So I'm
Where do you want to go?
Well, I want to go to Bali.
You're an idiot.
Why?
You're just an idiot. No one would go to Bali over going to Hawaii. Hey, how can I help you on that? Maybe Buzz
would. I might.
Yeah. What, but well,
look, we're arguing over Bali or Hawaii. I'd go to Bali.
Either one.
I would go to Hawaii.
I go to Hawaii.
Okay. Bali's supposed to be cool. A third option. You vote on it, and we'll go there. No cost to you.
You know what? I could have told you it was going to be this when he started. I could have told you it was going to be a lame-ass thing.
Go to Hawaii, dummy.
Majority says Hawaii.
There you go. Well, actually, I think we were split, weren't we?
We were split, too.
We were split.
Let Joe decide where he goes on his honeymoon.
Go to self-important island.
You know what? We were going to go to Ireland.
No,
I said self-important island.
You know what?
What?
Let Rob decide.
If it's my decision, don't get married.
What are we talking to this guy?
I don't know.
Who is this?
Hey, you want to hear a joke?
Cash in your plane tickets, buy a gun.
I should have hung up on this guy like 30 seconds ago. My apologies. Mike and Rob were looking at each other. I'm thinking...
Were they doing the dance?
Oh, where are you from? There?
South of there.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, you don't get the dance.
Enough said.
What the elephant say to the flasher?
Enough said. Get out of here. Go to hell. I hope your plane crashes. Hope I turn on Brian Williams' first newscast. I'm Brian Williams, a little nervous tonight. Well, a listener of the Don and Mike show who deserves it is dead as doornails. His plane to Bali crashed today. Amazingly, everybody surprised. Everybody survived except this one guy.
Happy holidays.
I'm Brian Williams. This has been a great first newscast.
I'm Brian Williams.
Join me tomorrow night when I plan on wearing a shirt.
There you go. And not this silly dickie. I'm Brian Williams, and I'm wearing a dickie.
See, I had him pictured just wearing a necktie with no shirt.
Right. I'm Brian Williams, and I'm dressed like a Chippendale.
We will be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Thought about your liver lately?
The Don and Mike Show.
That was a fast one.
You hear that one again?
Thought about your liver lately?
Bet I have.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636.
Yikes.
They're ready to believe you.
Yes, we are.
Thought about your liver lately?
Okay.
Head to Miracle every day on the Don and Mike Show.
Here we go with the station break in Spokane, Washington. It's KFAN KJRB in Houston. The station that doesn't have as much power as a flashlight. KIKK in Portland, Oregon. Max 910 at Ocean City, Maryland. Above Ocean City, 95.9. 96 Rock. How about that Beth Ann McBride?
Yeah.
How about her?
Isn't she pretty good?
Yeah. So we got Heidi Klum today, then the lady that just beat Ken Jennings.
Nancy Zerg.
I'll tell you soon on the show.
Uh-huh.
Patton Oswalt will be back.
Oh, he's my favorite.
Shatner will be here with his new record.
Kaleidoscope Eyes.
Alan Parsons Project.
Yay.
That's like for me living in the past.
Yeah.
And Mike, are you ready for this?
I'm ready for something.
Frank Jr.
Frank Sinatra Jr.
Sinatra Jr.
Wow. Hello, baby.
Hey, baby.
Fantastic.
Hey, baby.
Arrived.
And all I want to say to Frank Sinatra Jr. is...
Thought about your liver lately.
Wow. Now, and I forgot to mention, Billy Bush will be on the show today because he's going to tell us what happened when he went to Leah Remini's house.
Great.
The other night.
That's good, guys.
Now, I must tell you something. Let me get my... wife on the telephone. We were watching...
Freedom.
Yeah, she's still my wife.
All right.
Still my wife.
Your wife, Frida, no.
My wife, Frida. My wife.
Hello.
My life. Hi, honey.
Hi, Sweetie.
Here is the deal. Last night, there are shows that we like watching together and shows we don't like watching, so we watch them separately. Incidentally, I wanted to say before we talk about how fat Leah is, thank you last night for giving in. The thing was at 10 o'clock, we go up to bed, and we get to watch CSI, New York, or Law and Order.
Uh-huh.
And I said Law and Order, and she didn't give me a hard time about it. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome, but I had already previewed the beginnings of both shows, and I was I kind of wanted Law and Order anyway, so it wasn't really a giant victory for you.
But here's the deal. At 9 o'clock, well, I thought it was a victory, so let me think it's a victory.
All right, good. So you owe me one.
At 9 o'clock, I said to Frida, hey, come in here and watch The West Wing with me. I'm still one of the idiots that watches The West Wing.
Right.
I say, come watch that. She says, no, I don't like that show. We'll watch something at 10 o'clock. And then I was flipping around, and I went to King of Queens on CBS. And I called my wife in the room, and I said, now, baby, listen, I'm not going to tell you what I think. Because what I thought when I saw Leah Remini last night on TV
right.
was Kirstie Alley.
That big?
That's what I thought.
Wow.
Now, now, Frida, I know that you don't think as radically as me, but please to be describing, because I said to Frida last night, is the outfit that Leah has on TV flattering to a woman who's carrying as much weight as she is?
And no,
it wasn't.
You wonder if the people on the show have got it in for her. Because don't you have people that dress you when you're on a major...
So she was wearing too tight?
Baby,
it wasn't too tight, it was just... unflattering.
I'm telling you, it was Kirstie Alley like. It was like she had a brown corduroy jacket on, and then to accentuate the fact that she has a stomach now as big as mine, she had a bright gold vest that just like said, look here, look how fat I am.
But did you notice also a lot of shots of her from like above the breasts up, and also a couple shots where... they blocked her front with, like, props. There was
now,
one thing
we were
in the bar.
I thought we were extending the olive branch.
I didn't watch it enough.
Remini,
well, I did notice. I mean, I do notice things. And I noticed that when she sat on the couch in her jeans and she went to cross her legs and you see how massive her thigh is, boom, immediately they cut away from that shot.
It took three tries.
And then I was up in the office getting ready for bed, checking the email, and I was just, you know, we've got boxes of crap up there. Frida's always saying, go through this box of crap. Anyway, one of the boxes of crap was that magazine. What was it? Stuffer, FHM? Mm. That Leah was on the cover of?
It was on the cover of Stuff magazine. Right.
And
great.
Yeah. Looking at that picture and just think, man, oh, man.
Could she be in there now?
She could be in Plumpers now.
That big. See, I haven't seen this
now,
show.
Now, listen, I'm a harsh critic.
Well,
Frida?
Right. I'm looking at her, and I'm thinking, she looks like any woman who had a very overweight pregnancy would. I mean, she looks very much middle American. We all went through it. Everybody has a baby. Lots of people gain weight. It's no big deal.
So for Leah, now the stuff is a verb.
But she doesn't. I mean, you think you'd work a little harder if you're on a television.
Yeah,
now, exactly.
That's where you get where you get the catty side of my wife coming out. And I'm glad that that's finally coming out, that I don't appear to be the only evil one in my house.
Right.
Most people in daily life, we try and take care of ourselves.
Right.
But nobody's paying us to look good. She's making money to look good.
Mike, let this be an indication of what happened last night when I turned this on.
Sure.
She came by and...
she's giving us the real deal here.
She started
giving me
just an earful of, oh, that outfit is awful. Why would they... that accents her stomach. Oh, look, she can't even cross her legs. Look how big her thighs are. Blah, 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 blah.
Hire a personal trainer. I mean, I don't begrudge anybody in the real world, it takes a couple years, you take your baby fat off, you know. I mean, that's normal. But if I was going to be on television every week, I'd be at the gym. I don't think she's doing it.
All right. Thank you, darling. Because I knew coming from me, it would just sound like sour grapes.
That's right.
All right, Cookie.
So okay. I guess
you seem to have a very fine personality.
Wow.
Well said.
All right, bye, honey. I love you.
Love you too.
All right, see you later.
Hey, she did all the heavy lifting for you just then.
I'm telling you, last night.
So it was, she's looking big as a house.
It was just a drive-by thing with Frida where I said, hey, take a look at this. And she came by, she, like, she did that, like, double finger. Like, whoa.
No, what stands out is the fact that, you know, on that show, she's billed as kind of like the sex pot wife of Kevin James. And now.
They can't do that anymore.
So you're saying that, like, it's gotten. Do you think that she is...
I think they could wear each other's clothes.
So since she's had the baby, this is not just the baby weight. You think maybe she's continued to gain since the baby was delivered?
I would reckon to say that I have lost probably about as much as she has gained. Now, I'm still a big fat load. Go look at my picture on our website. Not a handsome man.
You think she's gained 80 pounds?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Really?
I think that she weighed, when we knew her, because I know girl weight is different than boy weight. Mm-hmm. I think she weighed like 115, that she was always flipping out of the game to 120.
Yeah.
I think she is seriously approaching the 200 mark.
Oh, my God. I got to check this out.
But on the bright side,
I ain't kidding.
The show is every bit as funny as it's ever been.
Well, that's good.
Oh, it is, Rob.
It is.
Oh, it's hilarious. Funny. Hold on. Let's see. Are these people calling about Leah? Maybe. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I noticed also she seemed to be wearing like an overcoat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Hello.
Like Steven Seagal.
Don and Mike show. Oh, you know, the best Steven Seagal is getting fat movie is the one where he wears the Indian stuff.
Yeah, he wears the whole movie, even when it's hot. He's got the big wool.
Hello.
The wool with the big, like, Southwestern
the
design
eagle,
on it.
The big eagle on it. I don't think it's good that you kill the environment. God, I need a Whopper.
And incidentally, we can make fat jokes because we're fat. And we make them about ourselves, too. But Steven Seagal or somebody like Leah Remini, you know, when they're billing themselves as a certain character, you know, I think they're held to a different standard.
Plus, we're DJs. I don't even think we have to throw that in anymore, that we're fat.
Do you think that Leah will get to the Kirstie Alley situation where you completely throw in the towel?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, hey, I'm funnier if I'm fat?
I think it's going to be eventually. I am Leah Remini for, it was a Pier One.
Yeah.
They'll dress her in those fairy godmother outfits. The big kind that have like the petticoats and everything that just kind of hide the fact.
Maybe the Access Hollywood thing will be a spinoff and Leah's next sitcom will be Leah's Closet.
I saw last night a promo for Kirstie Alley's new show.
Yeah.
Have you seen this on Showtime?
And now what's the title of it?
Fat Actress.
Fat Actress.
And just her in front of a bowl of pasta about maybe 2 feet long. And she keeps saying, we're doing a show, and can I have more butter, please?
Hello, Matt. Don and Mike show. Hello, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys? How
Hi there.
Doing?
Matt, give me 1 second. I want to mention again, then in our next break, we'll have Billy Bush from Access Hollywood, who went to Leah's house the other night to tell her that we're ready to extend the olive branch.
Yeah, I'm certainly thinking that olive branch seems like maybe it's a little wilted right now.
And he went through her closet.
Anyway, Matt. Hi, Matt.
Hey, I was watching King of Queens the other night, and Leah Remini used to be pretty sexy, but now it feels like I'm watching the Roseanne show.
Yeah,
okay. Right. Hello, Dan. But she still seems to be a wonderful person.
Oh, yeah.
Underneath
nice.
It all.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. Tom Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Listen, I was watching the show last night when she was looking up at her husband. Did you notice that chin back there started dancing around? She has another extra chin going.
A wobble.
Say, there's a lot of people are watching that.
I believe the olive branch is now being
pulled
completely back.
Rick, hi.
Chopped off.
Hi.
The olive branch has been pruned.
Mike, this was just a spontaneous thing last night. I hadn't planned on this.
It's a fact.
Frida walked by. I looked at this. I said, my God, look at this.
It's an observation.
Hello?
And it's not like it will stay the same. You never know.
Oh, and it's not like she's going to hear a word about this anyway.
Exactly.
She's in her own world. I'm sure she's a Ben and Jerry's now. You know what I mean? She's not caring about what we say on this show.
I'm holding out for the Christmas miracle of our rotund reunion. You know, maybe we should do more than just send a message through Billy Bush. Maybe we should send something.
Like what?
Candy.
Hickory farm
basket.
Cheese log.
A muffin basket.
I'm hoping she goes to our website and notices how much weight I've lost.
Very good.
I hope I can be an inspiration to her. You know, that's so cruel.
It is.
But it's so funny. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Don. Hey, Mike.
What about our audience, Mike? Everybody's ready to pile on this poor girl.
Of course.
Hello.
Hey, I kind of thought that gold blouse thing she was wearing made her belly button look like a flower vase or maybe a fourth input or something like that. It was huge.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for your fantastic analysis. Don and Mike show. That's Paul McGuire checking in from ESPN. Hello.
When in Manassas, Lisa Remini dines at Mike's Look Around Cafe.
Oh, God.
I'll tell you, Mike, you and your plant calls.
I know. I'm trying to space them out, Don. I really am.
Hard. Hello, Rob. People, Don and Mike show. Hello, Rob.
Hey, how's it going?
Not you, Rob. This guy, Rob.
Hello?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if you guys extend this whole olive branch thing and this Christmas miracle happens. Are you guys going to make a VH1 special out of it?
Wouldn't that be great?
No, and listen, who knows? I don't think
it'll be interesting to hear what the reaction was if Billy Bush did indeed mention our names to Leah, which I think he will.
I bet he did.
One last thing.
And what's he got to lose? I mean, and we said to Billy, do it when the cameras were off.
Yeah, right? we didn't need to be on
and
camera.
The reason that I think that we're getting this residual love for Leah from our listeners is that for many years I'm afraid that we put them through the situation where she would call the show,
yes,
and we would just fall all over ourselves and stop the show to go, oh, you're the TV lady, we love you, and you know, it's
and then somewhere, sometime, it went south, and I believe it might have been
VH1.
It might have been before the VH1, though.
Do you think
we had? Well, we had a series of like fights, and then we'd patch it up, and then I think where it really went south is when we went out to Los Angeles, and she was on the show for a week.
Well, that's when
that's when it became horrible.
That's when she found out what the show was like.
That's when she would say things like, "That's not funny," and then say nothing. and that's when
you crystallized it.
We kind of turned on her because that's what it was. That's why this naked cruelty now.
We had her on the air as a regular member of our show. This was one of those cockamamie ideas they had where we were going to have synergy with CBS and that Leah was going to be on the show every day. We had her on as a guest on the telephone. It was great. We'd seen her. We liked her. But we got her in the studio, and we would just be just rapping and taking calls. And
we were doing what we did.
We would be doing something that we would think was really funny.
Right.
And we'd all be laughing and look at her, and she would say,
"That's not nice."
On the air, "That's not nice. That's not funny. Who wants to hear that?"
And then just sit.
Right.
Wanting her different, like, yogurt.
And don't forget during the commercials, "Where's my coffee?"
And we had things behind the scenes where, I mean, there would be discussions out in the hallway, and is everybody okay? And it was one of the most exhausting.
She almost walked out a couple of times.
It was exhausting.
I remember one time we had to go to not a deli, but a bakery to get the gigantic
breakfast.
Get the gigantic plate of the breakfast foods that she required.
Well, I don't think it was food as much as she wanted a specific kind of coffee in the morning. She wanted a fruit plate.
But from a certain place.
But at least we got to look at her sister through the other side of the glass. It was a tense week for her. And I think if you really wanted to look at the history, that's where it kind of
Mike, you're right. Because then after that, then it just boiled down to petty stuff where we made fun of her VH1 show. Mm. And then, to spite us, remember, she went on Howard's show the next day.
Just to spite
us.
I have a hunch that if you extend the olive branch, when you pull it back, there's not going to be any olives on it.
Hello, Rob. Hi, George. Don and Mike show. George.
Yes, isn't it true that the real falling out came about when you couldn't fit her picture on your website anymore?
The listeners aren't helping us.
Everybody, please. Hello, Walt. Walt, Don, and Mike here.
Yeah, you know what? Yes. You know when Friends, when they had Monica in that fat suit?
Right,
yeah.
That's what reminded me of Leah, you know, that sexy girl in a fat suit.
We are, there's definite piling on going on now.
Okay.
But you know what? You're right. That's the years and years that she was on the show.
And it's our own fault.
We were digging it, but maybe the listeners weren't digging it
I mean, we really kissed their ass. Mm-hmm. You and I used to compete to see who could be the funniest, who could be the cleverest, who could be the glibest.
And you stayed at her house.
Okay. Guilty.
You won that competition.
And now looking back, lost. I'm lost. So infatuated with the fact that she was on TV that she'd allow me to spend the night in her house, and I got up at like 5 o'clock in the morning and was afraid to move because she's got this scary sensor security system. Mm-hmm. I remember calling my wife. It was 8 o'clock East Coast on 5 a.m. I'm in the guest room. She goes, "How are things?"
afraid to leave the room.
It was always
she has sensors everywhere. I'm afraid I'm going to trip the alarm.
It was a little weird.
I know, but I did it because I wanted to talk about her on the radio.
And she loved being on the radio, right?
Oh, she did.
She would love being on the radio again.
I don't think on this show.
I think you would be surprised. I don't know. We'll see what Mr. Bush has to say.
Okay, here's Robert. Robert, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, it's too late to extend the olive ranch because she probably just poured ranch dressing on it and eat it. So.
All right.
And the other thing, too, is she's up for a new movie role. Did you hear about it?
No, what is it?
Babe, Pig in the City.
Oh, God.
Wow.
This is, boy.
Yeah, they're enjoying
There's
that.
Hostility out there.
Shannon?
Yes.
Hi, honey. You're on there. Shannon. Hi, this
Hello.
Is Scott Shannon. You're a female Shannon.
I am, but I have a brother named Scott. But I was just going to tell you that Leah has already taped an episode of Fat Actress with Kirstie.
She has. So
you are kidding
yes,
me.
Yes, she has.
I'm not kidding.
No, I'm not. No.
Then maybe somebody bought her a mirror.
Well, no.
Maybe she's not in denial, though.
Well, no, I bet she's not in denial. I bet
no,
she
I think she is in denial as one of the guests, like John Travolta's been on it, and
as a thin person.
All of these people. So, yeah, to help her.
Well, we got to find out when that show is on. Thank you, Shannon.
You're most welcome.
Sure, dinner next to Kirstie.
You know what? Let's talk to, hold on, here's a guy in Green Bay. Steve?
Yeah, she went from sex pot to gravy boat.
Okay, now, Steve, let me ask you. you had your zinger ready there. Now, are you just piling on because it's fun to pile on a celebrity, or are you piling on because you heard our discussions with her before?
I'm piling on because I couldn't stand her when she was in her little house in California cackling away from her microphone in her bedroom.
Oh, you actually listened during those
days. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. All right. Thank you. I think that makes sense.
Thank you for listening through all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not forget when she didn't like to travel.
Right.
So the company paid to have the microphone in her house, and she would sit.
God, did we yield to her.
She would sit in her house, and it would sound awful. There was a 3-second coast-to-coast delay, and
very, very tedious. And then we flew the show out to her. Okay, it's official. We can't go back.
Hello, Jenny, my Jenny.
Hello?
Hi, Jenny.
Hey, I was just calling because I wanted to say, I think the trick, I just had a baby in May, and I think the trick is to exercise throughout your pregnancy, and if you do that...
I think that she did a lot of this, the right arm lifts the
foot. Now you're piling on.
Forklifting. Of course I am, and I'll also say, because I'm a hypocrite too, she was very nice to us up to a certain extent, even nice enough to invite us to be out on the show where you couldn't make it out that weekend, but I got a line on the show, and it was a very nice experience.
Another time you and I did extra stuff where we were on her show, and we had the run of the place a couple of times. It was fine. We didn't like anybody else, like the director. Everybody, I got the vibe when we were out there.
They hated us.
And it was not Leah's fault that everybody hated us, but it was interesting.
I'd also like to mention that, she's no idiot either. She got a lot of free advertising
for
her show.
It was a mutually beneficial, and then it just kind of went south.
Right.
But really, the last straw was when we made fun of the VH1 special.
Yeah. Which you deserve to be made fun of.
Absolutely.
Who's on the hotline? Robbie?
Rob?
This is Frida. Do you want to talk to her, or should I just relay a message?
Does she want to go on the air?
Well, yeah. Hold on a second, Frida.
That was an interesting exchange.
She wanted me to ask a question about Leah.
Hello. Hey, honey, just what do you want?
Well, I didn't want to interrupt, but I wanted you to relate the story that you might have forgotten. Remember when you ate with her and what crap she ate, like burgers and that kind of thing? I mean, she wasn't like the typical Hollywood starlet.
Okay, now I'm going to need the meow sound effects now, because you're really... That's something I told you in confidence.
Oh, well, sorry.
That was a husband and wife thing. I mean, you know, that was just me just saying, God, you wouldn't believe she eats like a pig.
All right.
Okay.
Didn't mean to, divulge anything.
I know. Okay. Goodbye. You just violated the confidence of our marriage. That's okay. Don't worry about it. And like I haven't done it before.
Right.
Thousands of times. So you want to take a couple more calls on this and see how Billy Bush is doing?
This is very interesting. It's an interesting dynamic here.
Hello, Mike.
Yeah, Don and Mike, buddies.
Hi, you're on the air.
You guys warned her from day one that eventually you were going to drive her away and she'd wind up hating you, and she constantly protested, oh, no, it'll never happen.
Yeah, I think that whole relationship was doomed to failure. I mean, from the very, very beginning.
We can't be friends with anybody. No, I take that back.
I was going to say, when your wife called, I remember we had lunch with her one time where she did the... like the egg white omelet thing, and she did do the Hollywood diet.
But
thing.
When I went out there that weekend,
right.
and stayed with her, I do remember, God, and I'm an ass too, because I called Frida as we were leaving the restaurant. I said, my God, you won't believe. She must be bulimic because she's had like three cheeseburgers and the fries with gravy on them, and she had the big milkshake, and she's got like the tight body, and she's eating like a pig. I gotta go. I'll call you back later. And that's what I was doing.
You involved your wife with her at one point.
Yeah.
They had conversations.
That's right. They did.
And it was doomed to failure.
Hello, Justin.
No good could come of it.
Justin?
Hey, Donna, Mike. Love you guys.
Thanks.
It's always relevant anyway. Leah Remini's a traitor. She's been on that other guy's show many more times.
Oh, you know, we don't care about that, really, with her going on Howard Stern's show. She only did that because she was mad at us.
Yeah, the timing is what we...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, the timing is what was suspect to us.
Right.
It was just, it seemed very unusual that the day after we had... Had the old VH.
She would book herself on Howard's show.
But she loved being on. She loved being on. She's one of those people that, remember the phase Madonna went through during the Truth or Dare phase when, I think it was Warren Beatty that said to Madonna, you can't live any other way than having the camera there. That's how you want to live. I always got the impression that she wanted to be on all the
time.
I think she still does.
She was like Dennis Murphy in that regard. She loved being on the radio.
If you thought her attitude was bad when she was on your show, it is 10 times worse now. And she's fat. That's a double negative.
Okay, thank you.
Wow.
We're going to stop it right there.
Let's stop.
Yeah, she's a fine actress.
When we come back, we'll talk to Billy Bush from Access Hollywood.
And, yeah, we'll discuss that.
And we'll find out what happened when he went to her house a couple of days ago to say that maybe we should be friends again.
Olive Branch.
Up this is the Don and Mike Show.
Is she hot, or is she just delivery person hot? Hot. His bottom line is for me. Is she hot enough that you might think about it while you're having sex with Carrie?
Think about other women while I'm having sex with my wife?
Oh, sure. So what do you think about?
I think about my marriage vows and the life we built together.
Let them commit a vile act involving your faith. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
We're not Kobe.
Yeah, come on. Tomorrow, Friday, I'll get ready for the NFL, and we'll have Rich Eisen on from NFL Total Access, which is brought to us by Tower Records at Tower.com. No one has a bigger selection of music and movies we love than Tower.com. So I'm just sitting here thinking, God damn, I'm having a good time. Just in general.
Yeah, yes,
I like
fun.
Like doing the show.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, Billy's on the phone. I'll make this very, play the intro music here. There'll be a time, like in the last couple of years, we get to this point of the year, and I'll be honest, I would be going, can't freaking wait to get out of here.
Crispy.
I can't wait. I don't feel that way now.
Now we look forward to the goofiness of this time of year.
Yeah, we do. So anyway, and we're going to be here longer than we normally are to give you more shows right up to Christmas. Right.
Yeah, I think you can look forward to these shows. You know, it used to be crispy. Now it is goofy. And you will notice that the goofy factor will increase as we get deeper into December.
This is the year that we're going till 10 p.m. on Christmas Eve.
Shut up. Shut up, you. Anyway, I'm very blessed to be doing what I love. And I like working with you guys. And I like doing the show.
Thank you. You love
it,
too.
And here's Billy Bush now from Access Hollywood. Hey, Billy.
Did you just sign a new contract or something?
No.
We're surprised at how happy we are.
Listen, normally I'm at this point going, oh, Christ, how many more shows? But I'm loving it.
Yeah.
And, you love radio. You love broadcasting.
I love it. I love your show, though. That's what I like.
You got out of the scummy radio part and got into the scummy TV part. And
it's scummy no matter where you go.
What we want to know, Billy, is... Did you go to Leah Remini's house? Because we just had a segment about this.
And we have to be honest with Billy and tell him what the segment was. The segment was not pretty.
Here's the deal. It started like this, Billy. Last night, I said to Frida, do you want to watch The West Wing? She says, no, let's watch something at 10 o'clock. So I'm watching The West Wing, and she's walking by. She's watching King of Queens. And she said, turn on Channel 9. Watch King of Queens. And we had a discussion about Leah's figure. And I relayed that on the air, and then our listeners started calling in.
They started piling on. And
saying
it was,
if there was an olive branch, she would probably want to dip it in ranch dressing.
It was terrible. And here we are after, you know, talking to you the other day and kind of indicating to you that we want you to, you know, maybe test the water and see what's going on. And
I tested the waters. We definitely had a discussion about Don and Mike in the home of Leah Remini.
Wow, okay.
And here we go.
All right, let's get it. We've been waiting.
With the absolute. Rob, you got a timpani for me?
Yeah, let's get the lowdown from Billy. Billy's a good guy.
Things aren't good, fellas. Details at 11, but I know. It seems to me that she said there was just a point where you turned mean on her.
Okay.
Went from fun and funny to mean.
Now, just in our defense, Billy, and you know this from having worked on radio.
You were mean all along?
Oh, no. No, well, actually, we were not. Well, yes, but not really. There was a time when the company thought it would be a good idea to have her on the show every day, mm-hmm. like as a regular person with a microphone and everything. So we went along with that, and she had never heard our show in totality. She only heard it when she was on it. So,
right.
Like, the second day that she was on the show for four hours.
To kick it off, we actually flew out to Los Angeles to do a week of shows from L.A.
And so we're out there at Westwood One, and we're doing our regular show, and she would say stuff like we would do a bit that we would think is good, and she would say on the air, that wasn't funny. You're not being nice to people.
And then she wouldn't say anything else, and it kind of, at that point, it kind of went.
That's right. Okay, she explained that part, and she said, it said the mics went off, and I can't remember who turned her and said, don't say that on the air again.
That would be me. Well, so how did it end with Leah after you brought our names? And sorry if that got you in trouble. I hope you did that after the camera was off.
No, I did that after it was off, and yeah. I said, and she was, I got to admit, she was very cool, uh-huh. and I said, it was a shame, though, that you know, this reunions, man, you gotta get back with Don and Mike. They loved having you on. And when it was, they were hot for you. You were really good on the show. Come on, get back on there.
Okay, and then she
I think we need to build this drama until she actually does return. I just sent her an email.
She ain't coming back.
While I was on hold, I sent an email, and I said, on with Don and Mike in 1 minute.
Okay.
Any message? And I said, so sad, they loved you, and you were outstanding on the show. Uh-huh. I'll be pushing for a reunion.
Well, Billy, thank you.
And her mother, by the way, is pretty tough. She
Oh, her mom was there, huh?
She walked in. I walked in, and she said, "Look at you! What are you like, 10?"
Oh, wow.
Did you? How often did you have to stifle back? Just, hey, shut up, horse face.
I said, it's so nice to meet you,
and Billy, we really do appreciate you doing that for us and giving us the real assessment of where it stands. And really, after the last segment we had on the show, I think perhaps just as
everybody's
well.
Everybody's happy.
I think we move ever forward.
Billy, thank you for that. Now let me ask you about Access Hollywood. When Nancy is out doing whatever she's doing, and she's lighting a tree somewhere, or she's going to go interview Arnold, do you get to take over the show on those nights? I mean, when she's out doing that stuff, or do they... You know what I mean.
Do they bring somebody else in? How does that work?
Yeah, we always have we like to have two in there. So we have Sean Robinson is in for Nancy O'Dell. And then when I'm gone, usually Tony Potts is in for me.
Yeah, right. Oh, she's a good-looking woman. That's
Sean Robinson?
Yeah.
She really is.
She's easy on the eyes.
She's easy on the eyes, and she's a single woman. She's kind of always, you know, looking for that man, but I don't know.
So would you rather do the crap that they make Nancy do, or would you rather do the crap that they make you do in the studio? Would you rather travel a lot or stay at home?
I do travel a lot. I may be off to New York to host something in a couple of weeks again, and I do those pageants, Miss USA and Miss Universe.
Oh, I forgot about that lottery winner. I forgot. Yeah, he's everywhere.
Alice, I want you to be my guest. At the Miss USA, I believe, is in Baltimore.
Oh, really?
Ah.
Oh, God.
In April.
I'd go.
We gotta get. You know what? You guys gotta. You should be the preliminary judges. Where you, you know, when they say,
right.
When we say tonight, the preliminary judges have whittled them down to 10. You're the guys that sit up there and say, you know, no, yes, no, and you get down to the final 10. So when the broadcast begins, you've got 10.
I'll do it. So hold on. Tell me what's on your agenda.
Maybe I'll put that in my contract. Say I'll do it as long as Don and Mike
right.
can be the prelim judges.
So you have that gig lined up. Are you doing anything like the Hollywood Christmas parade, or are you doing anything like that?
There's something that I won't mention, just because it hasn't been finalized, and that we don't know which direction it's going. But in a couple weeks in New York, it's
Yeah, it's big festive. It's prime time. It's
this
it's Hollywoody and I mean it's Christmassy and all that.
You've had a string of years, Billy. You've done pretty well, my friend. You have.
I have. I got lucky. I got in. You know what it is? I'll tell you what. It's radio. Radio is so much harder than this. What I'm doing here, you've got 140 people putting together a half-an-hour strip show.
Right.
And you guys have, I don't know how many you have, but I had three.
Yeah, we have, well, one and a half.
Putting together 4 hours every day. Well, you don't even have records to rely on. It's just you.
Billy, thank you for the nice compliments. But back to you. Any late-night Cinemax adult programming in your future?
Any Cinemax programming?
You know, late night. I mean, like when they do like the Red Shoe Diaries and stuff.
Yeah, I love that. The girl from The Apprentice was on it.
Oh, really?
Remember that girl in last year's, in the first Apprentice? What was her name? The one who was in the Red Shoe Diaries?
I remember her. Yes.
I surprised her with a tape of the Red Shoe. I said, now I want you to close your eyes. I brought something for a surprise.
Hey, I have one more question about the nuts and bolts, and sorry to be boring you with this, but the actual downtime that you get, obviously you have a contract, but how much downtime do you get during the course of a year when you're able to just chill out a little bit?
I think it's like, I don't think there really is. You just take off when you want. I'm not one who takes off a lot because.
Neither are we.
You gotta be on. I mean.
Right.
I just take off, you know, of course I'll be off for 2 weeks, like the 20th. Through the 4th of January, and then in the summer I'll take 2 weeks again.
Wow, that's too
maybe
bad.
Three.
That's too bad for you. as we approach Billy, our Johnny Carson-like vacation.
Billy, I don't even know what's on your show tonight, so I'll ask you, because I thought we could just talk about Leah here for a couple of seconds. Do you have what's your lead story tonight?
The lead story is the Aviator premiere was with Leo DiCaprio was in New York. I mean, was in Hollywood last night, and I covered that. So there's a big nude scene with Leo, and we have all the ladies on the cast sounding off on Leo's backside.
Yeah. Now, do you see as much with? Now you know me.
There's a controversy. There's a little bit of frontal there. Half the ladies believe there's some serious frontal, and others believe it was too quick. And so we have a full debate going on the red carpet tonight on how much frontal there is.
Let me ask you: Is there more nudity in this, or are there more nudity in Alexander?
No, more nudity in Alexander, because this is not a sex scene nude. This is an emotional breakdown. Where are my clothes, nude?
Ah, okay, very good.
Oh, very good.
It's a first for Leo, so regardless, it's gonna get the attention. Also, I did the Fockers yesterday. I had an interview. I interviewed Barbara Streisand, Dustin Hoffman.
Hey, now that's big time.
Wow.
The whole crew, every single one of them was great. They only did three interviews, and one of them was ours. And
wow. Have you seen the movie?
I saw it, yeah. I saw the Fockers.
And, I mean, what are you going to say? You're going to say it's good?
I'm going to tell you honestly. Yeah. Most of the people on our ranch today was outstanding. I thought it was good, but I'm not going to rave because I went in, my expectations were so high.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To do what they did the first time, again, right, is very tough. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of waited for massive belly laughs, and they never really came.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
God damn. Boy, can you imagine if you were this honest on your show? You'd be fired in one day.
I don't have the time. I have like 5 seconds and a crack to say something.
Right. Imagine if it was, I'm Billy Bush, I spent the day with Dustin Hoffman. I got to tell you, really not a lot of belly laughs in this movie. That would not. Billy, you are really, no lie, I'm not blowing smoke. You're really great to talk to.
Oh, thanks, man. I love coming on here. Let me tell you, it's a good thing. As much as you'll have me, I'll be on.
I get the impression it's a little therapeutic for you, Billy.
It is therapeutic. It's just little man time.
You got it. Yeah. Well, listen, thanks for mentioning our names with Leo. Watch for Billy tonight.
I'm going to push on the judge thing for Baltimore, but I want you, if you'll do it.
We'll do it.
Yeah, well, Mike will do it. And Billy, everybody that's on NBC4 in D.C. and around the country, check your local listings for Access Hollywood. Thank you, Billy.
See you, fellas.
Okay. Bye, honey.
Hey, you're funny. You a funny guy. You gave him the honey. Oh, you're killing me.
Call them honey.
Oh, God.
Oh, I forgot to ask him if Leah had any pastry in her closet.
You know what? Well, now it's over.
Yeah.
I feel better.
Yeah.
I do.
Now we know.
I feel better. But you know what? You can always hold out the chance.
Yeah,
you
right.
Know.
Right.
Hey, she still remembers you coming out of that break when she said that's not funny thing.
Well, that's the first time that she had ever seen
right
the real me. Up until then, it had all been the, you know, well, you're so great, you're so pretty, you're so nice. I remember coming out of the studio.
That's not the real you. It's the stressed out work you.
I remember coming out of the studio. Listen, I want to tell you something. In that room,
we were on the street.
I mean, I was yelling at her saying, listen,
I don't know what you think, but in there, I run the show. Mike and I do the show. And if you think we suck, you shut up unless you can be funny telling us that we suck. Can you do that? Well, I didn't know that this was what the show was one about. This is what it's about.
I mean, that's how it went.
I can't imagine why it went south. I don't get it.
That was all my fault.
No, it wasn't. Now stop it. It wasn't your fault.
No, it was everybody's fault.
It was not, to me, I look back at it as one of the toughest weeks I have ever done this show. The tension going into breaks, coming out of breaks.
I just mentioned how, and really I didn't mean that. I've always loved radio, and I love doing the show that we're doing right now, and I'm really into the moment. But there was that time a couple of years ago we had all the internal crap with this company going on.
Yeah, it was tons of stuff. They were all trying to fix what wasn't broken. It was very difficult.
Sending us out there, and I'm thinking, okay, this is a good thing because it's cross-promotion, and it's Leah, and then, you know, she turns into Joan Crawford out there.
And we were at Westwood One, but wasn't it some facility that was just this antiquated, shabby little warehouse?
The Culver City facility.
Oh, my
Which really
God.
Was in the middle of nothing.
However, if you recall, it was convenient for Leah.
Yes, it
really
was.
Which is why we ended up doing the show from that little bungalow, and I do mean bungalow.
Remember those days, and we'd all kind of get done, and we'd go our separate ways. It was one of the few times that happened when we were on the road, and I remember like going down to like the beach and just hanging out on the pier.
Times were all weird, too, because we were in middays, plus the time difference.
Right.
We were off the air at 11.
I remember Rob and I would go to the pool at the hotel and sit outside. I would just chain smoke cigars and pound drinks, and Rob would pound beers, and we would both call our wives and pretend that we weren't drinking at like 5 o'clock.
Hi, honey, I'm just out here with Rob. Would you like to talk to Rob?
That's what we would do.
Yeah, you were smoking. I was doing crossword puzzles furiously.
You were.
That's exactly what we would do.
Oh, it was a good time.
It was good fun.
Jesus,
I love that toast.
Sucked.
Help me.
That's why we're never going to make it out of this box. Listen, we're never going to satellite radio.
Mm-hmm.
We're never going to television.
But we're okay with that.
Yeah, this is as good as it gets for us.
Enjoy, what you're getting out of our little cubicle here, right?
And if you're getting us on FM, then it's like you're getting us in high def.
Yeah, and that's as good as it'll be.
That's right.
A really good picture. That's what you can count on. No newfangled technology.
Unless you're hearing us on a station on FM that's in mono, because then it's like you're getting color TV, but it's not really high def.
Right. Yeah, and sometimes you can put AM on the hi-fi.
And if you're listening to us on AM, well, it's like watching black and white. That's all it is.
Hallelujah.
Let's be honest. And frankly, that's the medium that we're happiest
mm-hmm.
in. We know that we suck, and we know that this is the medium for us to suck the least in.
And as you heard, Billy Bush said, it's not good, guys.
That's what he said. But I'll give him credit.
He's a stand-up guy.
For asking her about it, and obviously, as you mentioned, she got into it with him.
You know, I played a hockey tournament with him years ago, and he was a good guy then, and he still is, and I'm happy that the guy's had the success he's had.
Yeah.
He is a good guy, and I will judge the Miss USA preliminaries. What does that mean? Is that like the people that come in for 5 minutes, like, all right, the real audience is coming in now, can you please leave?
I think that's where they get, like, the hoary girls, like, they go, Miss Rhode Island, mm-hmm. Miss New Jersey, come on down and say hi to our celebrity judges. Uh-huh. Mike, this is Miss New Jersey. You'll be able to interview her for about 20 minutes.
I'll judge it. I'll wear a velvet jacket.
Now make them earn it.
Right.
Earn the point.
Need any help, let me know.
What are you looking for in your future? Thank you, darling. Could you picture we were talking to Yodel? We say to Yodel,
mm-hmm.
How was that movie, The Fockers?
Hilarious.
Can you picture if she ever said, well, not a lot of belly flaps. Not a chance. He's just evil enough that he might work out.
Thank you, darling.
Anyway, that's Billy Bush. That's Leah Remini. That's a closed topic. Elwin, we've got the Thursday favorite lying straight ahead.
He's the Don and Mike Show.
Get out my leg!
The Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Dude Walker. Dude's got a link on our webpage. It's finally there, the official webpage of our show. DonAndMikeWebsite.com. You can go and download every day an audio highlight from the show, anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes long. And there's a daily log where you can actually see written down the dumb stuff that we say and the links and pictures. And the address is DonAndMikeWebsite.com.
Why don't you go to the store?
I agree, Mike.
I think it'd be a good idea.
You know what? I'll be as big a whore as you are.
Hey, there you go.
Hanks, look around cafe.
Hanks, look around cafe.
Fair enough.
Yes, sir, Bob. No, it's a good store. Go there. But I am most amazed by the response we've gotten from people who the web guy told me that I think in the first week that it was up something like 600,000 people, I don't know, downloaded a certain segment that,
cool.
that everybody wanted to hear. And people have been contacting the webmaster saying there are a lot of people in towns where they can't hear the show anymore, mm-hmm. and it's a way for them to get the show. Cool. Without, because whenever the show is on the internet, the station always gets caught.
One word of warning. Don't drink absinthe and then watch your computer screen. When you're listening to our audio, because
why?
That little thing, that little like that paint screensaver,
that screensaver
thing, kind of like wobbly.
It's the Windows Media Player.
Right.
It's very, very dangerous.
Or it's very, very fun.
It depends on your perspective.
One man's danger is another man's fun.
I can just close my eyes and see that. I bet you can.
So anyway, people are going to the website. They're downloading all the stuff. And thank you for that. So it's DonAndMikeWebsite.com. I already did the ad, right?
Yeah.
The rich? Oh, well, then here we go with the Thursday favorite. I think you'll like this one.
It's time now on
because frankly, I would say the next guy they're going to have in is just hot as a firecracker,
yeah.
and especially on fire during this holiday season. Come on in, Clay.
How are you? It's so nice to be back here. It's so nice to be back with each and every one of you. I'm just very excited about Christmas, and I sure hope you're going to buy my lovely Christmas CD that I just happened to bring you a copy of that, and I'd just like to say, get well soon, Reuben Starter. We're all pulling for you. We hope you do get well as soon. And I just say, let Reuben be Reuben. Let him be.
Uh-huh.
Let him be Reuben. Let him be as fat as he wants. How are you, Donald?
I'm doing great, Faggot. How are you?
And great to be here. Excuse me.
Which song? He said, I'm doing great, Clay.
Okay.
And which song on your CD?
Oh, there's so many of
Faggot,
them.
Do you like the best?
Boy, there's some originals on there that I'm very fond of. We've got Oh Holy Night.
You know the thing? We've
got
really,
Sleigh Ride, Silent Night.
We've got the real CD.
We've got the medley, which I'm very, very fond of. Hearts of Herald Angels Sing with medley with Oh Come All You Faithful, which is, in my humble opinion, it'll tell your heartstrings.
Yeah.
It really will. But I'm just so excited to be on this show. It's just great. I'm just really... Can I just say something to my fans?
Yes, of course.
I would like to say to my fans, I'm so grateful for all of the cards and letters that I've received. And because I'm associated now with Christmas, that I just received so many dear heart Christmas cards from all of my fans, from the Claniacs out there that just want to reach out and say hi, just greet me, just to support me, and I'm so delighted to be involved with each and every one of them. Can I just say a thank you? Can I say a thank you to them?
Do you think it would be possible, even if you were starving, that you could ever eat a hungry man dinner?
I don't think there's a chance, but I know Reuben could.
Mm-hmm.
Reuben used to eat six or seven of them because we all roomed together when we were doing Idol. And Idol was, you get camaraderie. You get camaraderie with all those people. And I remember Reuben changing in his dressing room, just a big, roly mound of silly, nice talent. He was so special to me. And I want to say that I tried one time to eat a Swanson's regular hungry man dinner, before they got larger.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't even make it through half of my Salisbury steak.
Mm. What about?
But I wouldn't want to eat a heavy meal when I was performing.
I'm talking about the masculine thing. Have you ever had, how do you handle a hungry man?
How do you handle a hungry man? The man handlers. it's just so nice to be here, and I'm very happy. I have one standing rule.
What's that?
If you're going to be associated with the Clay Aiken Christmas show, you have to wear your Sunday best. That is the requirement.
Oh, yeah. Remember, that's a true story.
Yeah.
When he's doing these Christmas concerts, he wants
his fans. I eat a lot when I'm on the road. They answer your question. I eat very
light.
You can tell what I ate because it leaves shapes pressing out in my belly. You can actually tell if I eat like a piece of if I eat a piece of fish or a fish stick, you'll see a little fish stick poking out because I'm so incredibly thin, and it makes you. Oh, you're playing something from my album. This is Clay Aiken Christmas album. Listen up. I think you like this. Don't you like the orchestra? They are just a bunch of deer hearts.
Just hear those sleigh bells singing in, jing, jing, jingling.
Isn't that lovely?
That's funny.
I don't believe you really have the
record. Together with you.
Thank you. I'm feeling a little raspy today.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm not in good voice, but that's the recording. Now play, why don't you play my favorite, okay?
Which one?
There's a song on there that I think you'll like especially, Don Jeronimo. I think you'd like Merry Christmas with Love.
Merry Christmas with Love.
That's one of the originals. I like Merry Christmas
with
Love.
Cut number 678. Cut great, Robert.
Can I warn you? A warning to all these sensitive listeners. You listen to this song, you're going to cry.
Uh-oh.
You're going to cry like a baby, like a little bambina.
The cuts don't match.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Here we go.
Sounds like a Dennis Murphy production to me.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah, like
every time I hear this song, even though I made it, I get a little cloudy myself. Thinking about this song. Isn't that lovely?
You ever kissed a girl ever?
Never.
Watching you. What about your mom?
Not even her.
Your mama?
My mom occasionally. No, I kissed her on the cheek.
On the cheek.
Yeah, Thanksgiving and Christmas and birthdays and such. Birthdays and such, Sundry Adams. You're not crying listening to this?
No, I'm thinking about how much would you like to spend Christmas with Brad Pitt.
But now don't tease me like that. I'm going to be standing in line. I don't care how cold it is outside. I'll be standing in line for Ocean's 12.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to have all 12 of those guys. Pitt, Clooney,
well, no,
all those wonderful
not
people.
Not all 12 are guys. You have Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh,
you have
poo-poo on her.
Julia Roberts.
We don't need to talk about that. Let's talk about that Andy Garcia. That's one hunk of Latin love, Mr. Garcia. I'd love to get his autograph.
Uh-huh.
I liked him. I liked him ever since The Untouchables. I thought he was the most touchable untouchable. That's just my opinion, though. Do you like this? Listen to me sing.
No.
Don't I have a voice? Someone told me one time, they said, Clay, you got a voice like a tiny little bird. Like a lark. You sing like a little lark bird. Oh, this is one of my favorites. It's a classic. It's a Christmas classic. You can enjoy this if you come out to the Clay Tour.
You know, the truth is, this is like the it's like the number one selling album in America behind the new U2 record.
I have something to tell you.
What's that?
You can't get it in stores.
Why?
You can't get it. You can go to these stores, and they're just not going to have it in stock.
No.
It's not going to happen. I'd love to take Mr. Andy Garcia out to dance to my CD. I sure was. Now, one of the things I do is I don't just sing in my tour. I dance. I dance to these fabulous songs, and I do like a little two-step, and I waltz around the stage, and I wear wonderful scarves. I wear a different scarf just that every night, every single night.
You too.
We'll stag all night long.
You too.
And I'm not talking about Austin Powers.
You too saw it.
You too.
It sold 840,000 copies. That's a good number, man.
Right, yeah.
Sold 840,000 copies of Atomic Bomb in the first week.
Yeah, but, well, you know, I'm doing pretty well, too. I'm no shabby slouch.
No.
I'm not a shabby slouch. Bono seems dirty to me.
Huh.
Maybe it's just me, but I wish somebody would take him, shower him up, and clean him up a little bit, cut his hair, take those silly sunglasses off,
you know,
so he can see his pretty eyes.
Have you seen the ads, of course, for the iPod with Bono?
Yes.
And I know you've got to be familiar with that song, Vertigo. It starts, hello, hello, hello,
yes.
We're going to Vertigo. Why don't you give us a little of that?
I'm not going to do that for you. You know who I do like?
Who?
The Edge. That's the guy that's in the
uh-huh.
U2. That's
right,
the one I like. He's the one with that crew cut.
Yeah.
He's still my beating heart.
Huh.
The Edge. I'd like to meet all... there's so many musicians that I'd like to have the opportunity to perform with.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I tripped on my tongue just there just for a second. There's so many that I would like to say. Can I just say, if I made my list right now, the top of my list would be little old Mick Jagger. I would just dance with him all night long to Winter Wonderland. He could be my Winter Wonderland. I know he's an older man, but I still think he's got it. He's
please,
got what it takes.
Pleased to be addressing the rumors that I'm going to make up now.
Yeah.
About... your Christmas special. Now, this part is true.
Yes.
You have a Christmas special
right.
with Barry Manilow.
Mm-hmm.
You have a concert tour with Barry Manilow.
Yes, I do.
Pleased to be addressing the rumor I'm making up right now.
Yes.
That you are, in fact, in love with Barry Manilow and may, in fact, be his love bitch.
I have something to tell you. Now, I will make this statement that I'm making up as we go on it.
Good.
That it is past tense.
Oh, so you were with
Barry.
There
is no longer
over
anything
over.
Between me and Mr. Manilow.
Huh.
He has chosen... He has chosen what he has chosen. And as far as I'm concerned, I will fulfill my contractual obligations with Mr. Manilow. But as far as anything that is romantic,
that is put by the wayside, because that is not the way a gentleman talks to a lady.
What did he do to you?
He challenged my stamina. And I can't tolerate that, and I will not tolerate that. I like a good, healthy relationship, but I think enough is enough sometimes. And I think a man needs to sleep, especially when he's touring and singing in 30 cities in 30 days.
Clay, did Barry not understand that no means no?
Yeah, I don't think he did. And I was in tears for a good 3 days. And it was almost difficult for me to perform, and I just said no. Does mean no, and now he knows. Now he understands that. And so now it's the silent treatment, and... he brought my duration into question.
Wow.
Which I found very offensive.
Sure.
And he was offensive. He was offensive.
He was offensive.
Yes.
Were some of his acts offensive?
No, he smelled offensive.
Oh. Barry Manilow did?
Yeah.
Huh.
He smelled kind of like a combination of old high karate and mothballs. And it was not pleasant. Listen to me sing this song.
Please. I've noticed you smell like old lady.
Yeah.
Oh, holy night.
I'm wearing rose perfume.
You smell like Allen Cunningham.
Yeah, wonderful rose perfume. And I get a big jug of it, and I've worn it for years. And it makes me feel fresh after I shower. I shower 13 to 14 times a day. I do a thing, I do a song, then I go back and I shower. Oh, I tell you, this is a wonderful song. For all those people who want to buy this, if you buy my CD, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be the nutmeg of my eggnog.
I love fudge, too. Yeah.
There's a shock.
Right.
Have you got a...
Can I just say something, though, because I don't want to slander anyone on your show.
Sure.
I just like to say I respect the talent of Barry Manilow, or as I called him, BM. he was wonderful, and I would always say, there's nobody that can sing finer than BM. He's a wonderful guy, and all he ate for 2 weeks was chicken salad.
Wow.
That's all he ate.
Morning, noon, and night.
Morning, noon, and night. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner was chicken salad on one piece of lettuce. A romaine heart. A little bit of a romaine heart, right. Chicken salad, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and he drank Tab.
Like Bobcat Goldthwait.
Warm tab and chicken salad. It was wonderful. This is Oh Holy Night, in case you didn't know.
Yeah.
I wish I'd done a Hanukkah song. I wanted to do the dreidel song for my Jewish friend.
Yeah.
But I wasn't able to do that. We just didn't have time.
You know, it's too bad that these holiday albums are never nominated for Grammys.
Do you like that picture?
Because you could win outstanding performance by a female.
Thank you.
For a holiday album.
I appreciate that. That's very nice of you.
I mean, I think you're better than Celine Dion.
Yeah,
I think you're better than Sheryl Crow.
Well, they've been at it a very long time, and I'm just a newcomer. I'm a new kid on the block, and I would love to compete with those ladies.
You're better than JoJo. I want to say this, though. I don't know if you're as good as Jessica Simpson.
Oh, now, silly. That's very, very silly. She's all backed up with all that superfluous stuff, with the backtrack and all the singers in the background. I will tell you what my agent is working on for me right now. We have contacted VH1 and looked for Clay Aiken to be on the next episode of Divas. I'm very, very excited about that. I hope you enjoy it. I hope you do. It'll be fantastic.
You'll fit right in.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be very, very exciting. Barry, or BM as I like to call him, made me eat tons of blue cheese.
Oh, dear.
I don't know why. I'm not sure why he did that. But he couldn't get enough of the stuff. He said, here, he'd crumble it and sprinkle it in my mouth. he liked to do that. And I
would give you a bad breath, wouldn't
it? I developed an immunity to it.
To blue cheese?
Yes. Yeah, at first, I would gag. I would gag like something was terrible in my mouth. I didn't like it. What it is, really, is just moldy. It's like it's like eating an old pair of Reuben's sock.
It's Roquefort cheese. It's moldy. You're right.
It's moldy. But then you acquire a taste for it, and then I like it on just about everything, including my morning pancake. So he would be sitting there eating his chicken salad on a piece of romaine lettuce, and I would be eating my blue cheese on my buttermilk pancake.
Now, would you both be wearing house coats?
We would both be wearing polka dot silk pajamas. Blue cheese, runny or dry, no matter. BM kept saying, let's get you fat. He'd always say that. Let's get you fat. Let's get you fat, Clay Aiken. And never succeeded. Because really, anything I eat just goes gonna right through me.
Listen to this beautiful song. Would you sing along a bit?
Yes, here we go.
Clay Aiken.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. I don't sound anything like me on this album.
Yes, you do.
What's wrong with me?
If possible, you sound more masculine today.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Have you been taking those hormone injections?
I'm working out. I'm working out on a regular basis. Yes, and I'm taking those special pills.
You are?
They said, to make sure that the hair stays the way it's supposed to. And I stopped tweezing. I'm not doing that any longer. And they're actually managing me. Regarding the Silk PJs, I wore the bottom.
You wore the bottom.
BM wore the top. We share everything. Toothbrushes. Dressing room.
But you've broken up with him.
Now I have. Yes, it's over. It's over. I can't be treated like that. I can't. No. You know, I don't. I admire him. I admire him for being able to stay up as late as he can. But I believe that every girl needs some beauty sleep once in a while. That's the way I like to do it. This is another cut from my CD, my Christmas CD, and I certainly hope everybody runs out. Just runs yourself out, right? That's a beat. Runs out to the store.
It's a very pretty picture on the front and on the inside. Do you like
the sweater that I was wearing there? I was wearing a sweater. I'll tell you what I was wearing in that particular picture. It's a sport coat, followed by a sweatshirt, and underneath it I have 14 t-shirts that I'm wearing, just to bulk me up a little bit.
And inside you're looking very retrospective as you look down at the ground here. Like, was this after Barry said something or did something to you?
No, that was just that's a quiet moment. What I call that, that's a QMR.
What's a QMR?
And I take in these QMRs.
What's
about 3 or 4 times. A quiet moment of reflection.
Oh.
That's a quiet moment of reflection that I would have several times a day. There happened to be a photographer there, and we were in the middle of doing a photo shoot. And he caught me off to the side as I was taking. I said, listen, we've been at this for about an hour and a half. If you don't mind, I'd like to step outside for just a second and enjoy one of my QMRs. May I go out for one of my quiet moments of reflection? And lo and behold, that Tomcat followed me out and took a snapshot of me when I was out there in one of my QMR moments.
A Tomcat.
I reflect. I think of life and Carson Daly.
Thank you.
This is my Christmas CD.
Yeah, I know.
Hope y'all buy it. Hope you Claniac. I can't even drive through North Carolina now without being stopped.
Now,
police officers even stopped me and want my autograph.
Yeah. How are your special ed kids that you used to work with doing?
They're fantastic. Every one of them is actually tracking with me and knowing how successful I am.
How could they? They're special ed.
Now, stop that, Don Geronimo. I know you do that all the time. You're going to make one of your tarred comments.
And how about this for a name for a disc jockey?
Yes.
What if you had a disc jockey and his name was Special Ed?
Special Ed. Oh, that's
Special Ed.
I was a great teacher. That's, of course, before I discovered my gift.
What's your gift?
Oh, you know, my gift is my singing voice, my Sing Like a Lark.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody knew it except me, and finally I discovered it, and Idol just brought it out. I hope I find a new hamster under my aluminum Christmas tree. I want to find a hamster under my aluminum Christmas tree.
I thought you had another gift.
I do.
Yeah, I've heard that you have 4 or 5 gifts that... to be honest, repulse me, but in some parts of this world, you would be...
Are you talking about my nipples?
No, I wasn't going to mention your nipples.
Well, that's what you're talking about, isn't it? You got the special bio. Yes, I have 4. I do, and now this now, puts out. Now you've embarrassed me in front of a reporter.
Okay, explain about the 2 that are on your shoulders.
I do not possess the gift of stamina. According to Mr. Manilow,
you have 2 nipples on your chest.
Yes.
And 2 nipples on your shoulder.
I do. My right shoulder. And now the ones that are on my chest are normal. And then the other 2 are on just above my right shoulder blade.
Huh.
And it's not something I'm proud of, or it's not something I'm embarrassed of either. Something I don't care to talk about.
Is there hair coming out?
There's not hair on any part of my body. If there is, I make it go away right quick. I certainly do. I don't see the need for anything but hair on the top of your head and, of course, your eyebrows. This is about one of my all-time favorites. I recorded this with a great deal of sentimentality.
Sure.
On the shoulder nipples, they chafe. They're always sore.
I'm sure. Put Band-Aids on those, I guess.
I will never wear a 100% cotton shirt. Now, that's a recipe for disaster. It makes me always, always evil.
How did Barry like being with a man with 4 nipples?
He made me feel special at the time. He no longer makes me feel special. So we closed the chapter on that Clay Aiken story.
Tell us about him and his belly buttons. I heard that he's got a fetish with belly buttons.
Well, I mean, I don't want to discuss, you know, I don't kiss and tell, so I don't think that's really necessary to go into that. But let's suffice to say that's what we would call playtime. And his is pierced. I bet you didn't know that.
His belly button.
Oh, his belly button is pierced.
Barry Manilow's belly button is pierced.
Yeah. And just a little... I don't think I can say what I was
doing. I don't think you can either.
You do a different show right
now.
Yes,
we do.
Yeah. I was going to tell a story. I was going to tell a story about going through the Donner Pass.
Okay, all right. I don't think you should.
I'm not going to tell that story.
No.
That would embarrass me and BM.
I think we should probably. What happened there?
I sure hope you run out. Can I do a little commercial? Because you haven't given me a chance to do my little plug.
Sure.
I tell you, I just want to say I stormed out of Barry Manilow's bullet house. He made me feel freakish. That'll be erotic.
I just want to say, if you do one more plug,
yeah,
I'm going to think you're a real butt.
Oh, that's very nice.
Buy my CD, please.
Listen to this.
Now listen to you. Don't get
so weird. He's one of the originals that was written for me, Clay Aiken, to celebrate Christmas.
Huh.
And I hope you're all in the Christmas spirit. Your man.
What do you think of that?
I'm very excited to be on your show, though. I hope I can do all sorts of radio shows as I travel the country. I'll be in lots of cities that you broadcast to, they inform me.
Yeah.
My CD is sweeter than gooseberry jam. God bless us, everyone. That's right. Let's have a big fat goose for Christmas. And make sure you wear your Sunday best when you're on the Clay Aiken tour.
Right.
Even those smelly roadies that haul all those boxes around. They better be wearing a tie. That's what I said.
Wow.
Yeah, and they got upset the first day, but then they understand where their paycheck's coming from.
Do you wear string ties, bow ties, neckties?
I wear any kind of tie that you're going to get. I mean, it's just the way I like to do, I wear a string tie sometimes. But what I prefer is oversized patterned bow ties.
Ooh.
That's what I like the best. That's right. I do that. And I like to wear an ascot when I'm in my dressing room. In my silk pajamas and my robe. Just
play.
Don't ever call me Tiny Tim.
We're going to play.
Hi there.
Don't do that, Mike.
Who are you talking to?
I'm talking to Mike, pretending to be blind.
God bless us, everyone.
Don't do that.
Don't you be my Bob Cratchit. Come on now, I just have to come and haunt you.
Buzz, are you noticing he's getting a little bit into character here?
Yes.
Even physically?
Very much.
Hello
so.
There, Mr. Sweater Man.
Hi, Clay. Nice
How
to
are
meet
you?
You?
Nice
I'm
to
well.
See you, Buzz.
We are going
I'll
to play a little bit of Jeopardy.
Man. My best to you and your family.
Thanks. With Clay Aiken here.
Yes, three. Justin Guarini used to call me Dry Bob. That's the secret. Rob Spiewak.
We need a couple of callers at 877-365-3636. And if you're calling from Canada, the number is 800-636-1067.
Can I give a shout-out to Fantasia?
Yeah.
Good luck, girlfriend. Just wanted to say that.
Very nice.
I'm looking forward to the new idol coming on. I think it's coming on in January. We'll all be back. If Ruben lives.
We'll be right
back. This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is an emergency. And it can affect every one of us. That's all I can tell you right now. But we're trying to get things under control. In order to do that, we have to clear this area immediately.
Right.
So please go home and stay there. We'll keep in touch with you through your radio station.
What's happening?
The Don and Mike Show.
Now, Clay?
Yes?
I want to warn you, after these people sing this...
The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
I'm going to play a song that's probably a little too loud for you. So just... I know you got that thing where you scream like a girl if it's too loud.
Please don't.
It's a wonderful rejoiner.
Let's not do.
Okay, here we go. Okay. And we're coming back in 3, 2, 1.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. Oh, it hurt my ears. Why is that screaming? That's not necessary.
Man, oh, man. But I tell you, I sure do like Robert Palmer.
I stepped on it.
Hold on.
I stepped on the intro.
There's something nice and soft.
Something soft.
Because I love it when you scream. When
something
it,
soft like some mittens.
He screams like a girl when a loud rock lyric comes on.
Can I call you Mittens?
The Don and Mike Show.
I threw a shoe. I did. I threw a loafer. I threw one of my Ferragamos. Oh, man.
One of your Ferragamos?
Yes, one of my lovely loafers, my Italian loafers. I have to splurge on something. That's what I splurge on.
Okay, here you go.
You play some more rock and roll for me.
I think you'll like this one. All right. We gotta play the game here.
All right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Are you screaming at this?
Oh,
just a little scream. This is kind of like soft rock.
It is.
This doesn't bother me.
This one doesn't bother you?
Yeah, but it's still smelly. Still a smelly song.
God damn it.
Right.
The
now.
Don and Mike Show.
What?
Now, that's just not proper. That's just improper.
Clay?
You just had a man take the Lord's name in vain on your tape.
Yeah.
You pressed the button and he said that.
Right.
Please don't do that again.
God damn it.
That's improper.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, that's just improper.
That's a random thing that just comes up. There's like 80 of them on this tape thing.
Well, I just want to tell you, during the rest of my visit, you will have to deal with Clay Aiken's sad. Oh, that'll cheer me up, though. That's something from my CD.
God damn it.
Now, that's
the Don and Mike Show.
That is disgusting. Why are you doing this to me? You're picking on me. You're gonna.
God damn it.
That's horrible.
I don't want to be associated with that.
Glory to the newborn. God damn it.
Stop it. Stop it.
My goodness.
Flustered him.
Well, stop it.
See you right now.
What, Clay?
Thank you.
Thank you for what?
Thank you to my Heavenly Father for providing me with opportunities and gifts far greater than I deserve. That's nice.
Let's play the game, shall we?
Yes, Clay Higgins. Let's play. No budget, Jeff Hardy. Clay, come on.
It's time.
God damn it.
All right.
The Don and Mike Show.
This is Low Budget Jeopardy. I'm now entering the studio with our challenger. He is a waiter from Sacramento. Let's say hi to Sam Nation.
Hello, Sam. How you doing, dude?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing great, thank you.
And now entering the studio is our returning champion. His one-day win in total is $48. Let's please welcome.
God damn it.
Stop it. Let's please welcome from Fairfax, Virginia, Chris Metalcow.
Hey, Chris.
Hello, guys.
Hey, my friend. Being our returning Low Budget Jeopardy champion, how has it changed your life?
Well, it is. I didn't even know I had. I've been coming out of the woodwork and asking me for nickels, dimes, and quarters.
That's wonderful. Now, in the studio is the host of Low Budget Jeopardy. How about a Chuck Chris and Sam Nation? Please not.
No,
they told me to be authoritative.
Please do. Be a man.
All right. Please do not screw it up to you. And please welcome Alex Trebek-Geronimo coming in to play the game.
Thank you, Clay.
Thank you.
Very masculine.
Thank you. Let's not get out of line. Wow. Oh, now you're going to melt me. You're going to melt me just like an ice cube on a hot floor.
I'm not going to melt you.
Because this will make me all soft and fuzzy. And I
God damn it.
That's
Don and Mike Show.
That is improper. What the hell? You've got me angry all over again.
Yeah, you look mad.
I'm angry.
You look.
You see this?
You
see this little thing that resembles a dead dandelion?
You know, that
that's
was
my
like,
fifth.
Do you know how old Rob's son is?
How?
Robert, my godson. He's two?
Yes.
I think his fist is bigger than yours.
Well, that's wonderful. Then why? I suppose you're going to bring him in, challenge us to a five. Where's the nearest Cracker Barrel? I'm starving to death.
Sure. Here are the categories, guys.
Yes, let's do.
The categories are...
Uh-huh.
This week on the Don and Mike Show.
I haven't been listening regularly because I have been in travel.
Yes. Name that Ron.
I need a corn muffin.
Who is the starting quarterback this week?
Quarterback. Yeah, I know. They warned me about you.
Mm. What? That we would discuss some masculine topics?
You could talk about football.
Celebrity stuff.
I'm probably good at that.
And military stuff.
No, wrong. Boo.
So we have this week on the show. You just did that thing with your wrist.
Yeah, I don't lie. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
This week on the Don and Mike Show,
yep.
Name that Ron.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the starting quarterback? Celebrity stuff, military stuff, and Sam in Sacramento on KHTK. You're the champion, challenger, I'm sorry. We'll start with you.
Okay, I'll take celebrity stuff for $1.
Celebrity stuff.
Good luck, Sam.
Thank you.
Thank you what?
Thank you what?
Thank you, Clay.
There we are. That's wonderful. You going to play that in the background the whole time?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I still listen to probably one of my
God
favorites.
Damn it.
Stop
the
it.
Don and Mike Show.
Just stop it.
Oh. Disgusting. That's disgusting.
Thank you.
Here we go, celebrity stuff. And Sam, for one, this piece of Seinfeld memorabilia was donated to the Smithsonian.
What is the coffee table?
Chris, it's your chance to steal.
What is the puffy shirt?
Correct. That's why that guy's the champion, right, Chris?
Chris Menacow, now select again, Chris.
Celebrity stuff for two.
She had twins and named them retarded, goofy names.
Who is...
Sam, it's your chance to steal.
Mouth breather.
Who is Julia Roberts?
There you go.
$2, Sam's on the board. We got ourselves a game here, gentlemen. Let's go.
Celebrity stuff for $3.
This rock legend will perform at this year's Super Bowl halftime.
Who is Rod Stewart?
I said Chris, rock legend.
It's your chance to steal.
Who is... Paul McCartney.
Buzzer got you, my friend. Maybe you didn't hear it.
There it is. Oh, my goodness. That just made the hair on my arm stand straight up.
Yeah, that's Paul McCartney. I thought you didn't have any hair.
I was lying. Sam, you're in control.
I'll take military stuff for a dollar.
It just made all the hair follicles stand up. It looked like a bunch of little pimples on your arm.
I look kind of like a boiled chicken. Exactly what it looks like.
What do you look like?
I picked them individually out of my skin.
You know, Mr. Bigglesworth?
Yes, that's exactly what I look like when I get out of the shower.
Oh.
I do. I have a similar bone structure.
Yeah.
I do. To Mr. Bigglesworth. I'm all just kind of patchy and pink.
Shaved?
Shaved completely.
Like Mr. Bigglesworth.
Not really necessary to shave most of me, though. There's no hair growing on me.
Yeah.
I'm not even a fuzzy peach.
Chris,
thank you.
Who's in charge here, Chris?
Sam's in control.
Sam, I'm sorry.
Select again, Sam.
Sam, go again, Sam.
Military for $1, please.
Military stuff. This is the country with the most submarines in the world.
What is Russia?
Negative. Chris, your chance to steal.
What is America?
Come on. Never bet against America.
There
correct. We're number one.
$1, not like a man in uniform. All right, Chris, go again.
Military for $2.
This is the country with the number two, the second most submarines in the world.
What is Russia?
Sam, your chance to steal.
What is Turkey?
Right, they're a big risk.
Turkish Navy.
Maybe you've heard of this place. This place called China. It's not Turkey.
Goodbye, Turkey. My turn it will be in touch.
Now, China's got a lot of subs. They're number two.
And that means, Chris, you're still in control.
Military stuff for $3.
Okay, I will tell you right up front that the United States is number 5 in this category, so don't say United States. This is the country with the largest army in the world.
What is China?
Right, and that's why we got to keep an eye on them. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Right.
You never know who's going to try to blow us up.
How do you feel about Jackie Chan?
Jackie Chan? I like the tuxedo.
Yeah.
That was a fine movie.
How do you feel about him as a man?
It's not it's really just not my cup of chowder.
Too athletic?
A little bit.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just, he's a little too short. I like him tall. Now, you won't get an argument over me about Pierce Brosnan.
Now, what about Yao Ming? That's a tall Chinese
Much
man.
Much different. That's a different story right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a man.
So you
that's all man.
You could play one-on-one with Yao Ming?
I sure could, absolutely. But not Jackie Chan. He's a little old for me, too. A little long in the tooth. A little long in the Asian tooth for me. Thank you. Chris, you're in control.
Chris.
Let's go with starting NFL quarterbacks for $1.
Okay, here you go. This is where, and Clay, don't feel bad about this. This is where the men stand up on the
show. It's night time. Clay's going to take a nap, y'all.
This man is starting this weekend for your St. Louis Rams.
What is Mark Bulger?
Rams.
Second rate quarterback is what he is, and I heard you asking somebody, watch it there.
$1 for you, Chris, left again.
Starting quarterbacks for $2.
And he's not really second rate. I only said that because Buzz has got him.
They all wear tight pants, don't they?
One of the buddies has got him. For $2, here we go. Starting this weekend for your Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Who is trying?
Sam, your chance to steal.
Hey, who is Travis Colin?
Travis Colin? My goodness. Sam Nations of Sacramento.
No, it's Brian Greasy, not Travis Colin.
Chris, you're in control.
Huh. Quarterbacks for $3.
He starts this weekend for your Carolina Panthers.
Sam, chance to steal again.
Who is Jake Delhomme?
I give that to you, Jake DeLome, right? The Cajun guy, the water boy.
I like Cajun food. I do. I like crawfish. $3 for you, Sam. You are now officially in control. I'm going to need you to select again, please.
Week on Don and Mike for $1.
Reminder, Clay has got a brand new Christmas album out.
Yes. I sure hope that everybody finds a chance to get out to their local record.
God
oh, no,
damn
don't
it.
Do that.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stop that. That's making me angry.
What's it called? Clay Aiken. Merry Christmas with love.
Merry Christmas with love, and it's just the way I feel.
Merry Christmas with love.
God
every one of you.
Damn it.
Stop it. Stop it. I'm going to have a hissy fit. I'm going to have a full-fledged hissy fit right now. I'm going to have a tantrum. I will hold my breath until I pass out.
Cool. Chris.
Sam's in control.
Sam. Okay. Sam is selected this week on the Don and Mike Show.
That is correct, Don.
Here you go. She was today's mystery guest.
Who is
Chris.
Chris, your chance to steal.
Who is Heidi Klum?
Right, there you go.
$1, you've taken a strong lead there. Chris, would like to begin, please.
This week on the Don and Mike Show for two.
He's the host of Fox NFL Sunday.
Who is James Brown?
Right, JB.
For you. That's for you, Chris. You're rolling long. Keep going.
Close it out for three.
A psycho psychic said that this dead celebrity was listening to our show yesterday.
Who is Marilyn Monroe?
There you go. That's $3. A good segment. Way to go.
Congratulations. You're still in control, Chris.
Name that Ron for one.
Name that Ron. He started the whole Pacers-Pistons fight.
Who is Ron Artest?
Right.
$1 for you, Chris. Boy, you're just a steamroller rolling down that highway.
Name that Ron for two.
Director of Apollo 13.
Who is Ron Howard?
Right again.
Unbelievable select again, Mr. Chris.
Name that Ron for three.
He is married on the radio to Fez.
Who is Buzz Burbank?
Sam, your chance to steal.
Fez dreams.
Who's Ron Garnett?
That's
the name. That's right. Ron Garnett and Fez Wally will be on later tonight.
Ron Garnett, Fanta. Isn't that little old Ron Bennington?
Yes, it is.
Oh, man, I just want to say hello to Fez Wally, Mr. Santa Claus. Oh, there we go again. You're going to do it again. Now I know exactly what we're going to do. You're going to play that goddamn thing.
What did you just say?
Oh!
God damn it.
Oh, no. Well,
the Don and Mike Show.
I guess I'm in the club now.
Yeah.
Hello, Satan.
Listen, that's
the end of the first round of Low Budget Jeopardy.
Clay. Yes, it is. Who's got what?
We got Sam with $5 and Chris has $15. It's not exactly a horse race.
All right, guys, here you go. It's final Low Budget Jeopardy. We physically force you both to bet it all. Good luck. And the category is, hey, search this. So here you go. According to a website, I won't give you the name of the website now because you could go get the answer, but according to a certain website, over the last 6 months, this has become the number one internet search engine in the world with over 112 million searches a day.
This is breathing.
I think that's Chris.
Chris, are you breathing heavily into the phone?
Sorry, Clay, yeah. Oh,
that's all right. It didn't really bother me that much.
Again, search this. Number one internet search engine in the world. Over 112 million searches a day. Guys, don't forget to answer the form of question. And good luck.
All contestants. What?
God damn it.
Here we go. And good luck.
Hello?
Jesus. Hello?
Yeah. Wait a minute. Man.
God damn it.
Wow.
And good luck.
All contestants on Love Bunch Jeopardy will receive a membership in the Aiken Army. The extreme wing of the Clay Aiken Fan Club. Your membership in the Aiken Army gets you a full-size poster of yours truly, a vial of my sweat, a sample of my styling gel, some Clay Aiken Thin Mints, a picture of me in Halloween dress with Patti LaBelle, an Aiken Army pot holder with a picture of a kitten on it, all in a Ziploc bag from me to you, with lots of love. Now back to Final Low Budget Jeopardy with Alex Tomorrow.
Thank you, Clay.
It's game time now on JFK with cash for you and me.
Okay.
It's time for Don and Mike to play Low Budget Jeopardy.
Here we go. We want to talk to
Sam first.
Sam? Oh, yeah, Sam in Sacramento. Sam, it's the number one internet search engine in the world.
What is Google.com?
That's right. It. You double your score to $10, Sam Nation.
Now, Chris, if you have the right answer, you once again are the big wiener.
What is Google?
And that means
winner.
Chris Menicall, you are still our low-budget Jeopardy champion.
It'd be nice if one of these things was in the button that I was hitting, but who cares?
Who cares?
I tell you what's always there.
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, here you go. Yeah, guys, you were both right. It's Google is number one, but listen to this. See if you can guess what's the second most popular search engine.
Yahoo.
It's not Yahoo.
It's not Yahoo.
MSN.com.
It's not MSN or MSN Search.
Is it Lycos?
It's not.
DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Oh, thank you.
Then number two is AOL Search. Followed by Yahoo, MSN Search, and then Ask Jeeves.
Ask Jeeves?
Ask
Jeeves. That's the butler one.
Yes, it is. Let's see. Sam,
Don't go away mad. Just go away. And, Chris, you have won another cornucopia of gifts and prizes here now with Clay Aiken. Tell you guys what you've won. Clay.
Chris, you started $30. Patronus, $25 bonus. Bring your total $55. Add your previous winnings. You have a total, Chris, of $103. Woo. Congratulations.
Mm. Thank you.
And Sam Nations here is your prize. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
You have won a ultimate home tailgating kit to get you through the football season, courtesy of Prolosec OTC.
Cool.
Prolosec OTC wants you to make the most of your tailgating. You can win Prolosec OTC's ultimate home tailgating sweepstakes with the NFL today. Just go to CBSSportsLine.com to enter. It's time for me to go back to my North Carolina condo. Lots of exquisite closet space. I hide in them. All of my closets.
God damn it.
Just stop
the Don
it.
And Mike Show.
My goodness gracious me. I just would like to take this opportunity to wish you and yours a very happy holiday season. Don Geronimo, Rob Seawack, Buzz Burbank,
thank you, Clay.
Your producer, Bethany McBride, and Mr. George Geralto, and Todd Hughes. From Bennington, Fez Watley, I would like to also say hi to Justy Johnson. Is Joe single?
Is who single?
Joe Ardinger.
He's engaged.
All right, I understand he got his hair cut because he knew I was coming in today.
Sam and Chris, guys, have a great weekend. Thank you for listening.
You guys too.
Y'all take care.
And Clay, well, what can we say?
We can say yeehaw!
Oh, your new Christmas CD is out there.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much for having me on your program. And good luck with the Marty Bass Show.
I wish you the gayest tidings this holiday season.
Thank you so much. May you find mistletoe everywhere you look. I certainly hope so. I hope it hangs over your head for the entire holiday season. That will be a delightful thing. And look at you with your shaggy long hair, Rob Spiewak. Rob Spiewak, a man after my own heart. Tommy now our gay apparel as we get our letter in theater arts.
Buzz.
Yes.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
He's all man.
He made it up.
Yep. Buzz Gridley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi. Hi, Donna Mike.
Hello there.
Hi, Clay.
How you doing? Hi there. I just love it when he says Clay.
Today.
What, Clay?
I'd love to improv with Rob. That'd be so much fun. I'm sorry. I'm interrupting. I know this is not my time. My limousine is waiting. My chariot awaits.
Buzz, what's your lead story tonight?
Today on News and Comment, we whip a little democracy on Iraq, whether it's ready or not. And we're sending more troops.
Oh, he is a tough guy, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Stay tuned for News and Comment.
News and Comment coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
And Clay, don't forget,
that was exceedingly professional. Time to get into my Roman Emperor outfit.
It's the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
God damn it.
Oh, now, come
the
on.
Don and Mike Show.
Now, that's just being repetitive, Rob.
Hold on, give me a fresh one.
The gods of air and wind, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, and a station break. Pittsburgh.
I love the bird.
Yeah.
W-U-R-P.
Baltimore Charm City. Live 105.7. How about Burlington, Vermont? 96.7. The Zone FM. And in Buffalo, FM Talk 92.9. WBUF.
It's time for
Buzz
McCulter.
See, I was really looking over to make sure. See, this button.
Yeah.
Is right next to this button.
Someone call for a doctor?
And unless I look.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look, it takes my mouth away from the microphone.
Yes.
It's a wonderful layout of this studio that's designed really for your convenience.
For an octopus. Uh-huh. Now that I got my finger on the right.
Hello.
See?
That's Jerry
right
Lewis.
It's Jerry, the doctor.
Someone call for a doctor?
And the phone scan. Okay, I got my finger on the right button this time. Viramax, the world's number one sexual pleasure performance enhancer, doctor developed.
Someone call for a doctor?
Uh-huh.
That's
clinically tested, 1-888 try VMAX. They bring us Buzz, and now here is Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. The U.S. Hey, baby, how about a little democracy? Iraq, not tonight. I have a headache from all the guns and bombs. The U.S. Well, we're going to do it anyway. And so it goes between Washington and Baghdad.
Buzz, yes. Buzz, no means no.
That's right. That is right, Don.
I'm Iraq, and I don't have to take this anymore.
That's right.
Hey.
With a country like that, you could go places.
With I'm Iraq. And I don't have to take that.
That's still the greatest PSA ever.
With the same vacant but steely-eyed determination that got him reelected, the president says Iraq will have a free democratic election on January 30th.
Are you editorializing
that? Even though more than a dozen political parties in Iraq say the vote should be postponed until the shooting dies down.
You know, am I going to hear this same treatment on this story if I watch Brian Williams tonight?
Yeah, he's going to start this tonight.
Yeah, Brian Williams.
Toward this end, stopping the shooting, the president sending another 1,500 troops and extending the assignments of more than 1,000 others. That brings the total number of U.S. troops participating in the Grand Coalition to 150,000, the most since the war started and just in time for Christmas.
It sucks, but here's the only silver lining to this. Is unlike Vietnam,
right.
We are now, I really think, a more evolved society where at least we can say we're Americans, we don't agree with the war, those of us who don't.
Right.
We don't agree with our dumbass president.
Right.
There's nothing we can do about it because that's part of being an American. We just had an election.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you're like me and everybody in this room, you're against the war.
Right.
Unlike Vietnam, these guys and women, no matter what happens in Iraq, are not going to come back, and they're not going to be pelted with stuff like our Vietnam guys were.
No, but what you will have, and I was talking to somebody about this the other night, you will have the post-traumatic stress syndrome. You're already seeing that's
yeah.
happening. And, you know, but I think what people forget is really what each and every day these guys are going through. These guys and these girls are going over, mm-hmm. over there
but
and in real, you know, horrible combat situations.
40 years later, though, in that way, we are a better
I think so.
Nation.
I hope so.
I think there's a lot.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I think
yeah.
there's a lot of people who think, mm-hmm. that sucks going to Iraq. I could never imagine doing that in my life. Other people would say, these people, regardless if you think Bush is an idiot, Or a genius.
Yeah, whether you're pro-war or against the war.
Right. Please line up those people that think he's a genius. But
hey, there are a lot of them.
Regardless. But you know, Mike, you could take care of that problem. With only one gun.
One gun, right.
All those Bush supporters. But, Buzz, I guess my point on this is, even though we send more and more troops over,
right.
there's more of a feeling from the American people that, you know, as jive as it sounds, and I wish they'd stop doing it during football games when they say these people are the real heroes,
mm-hmm.
because it's set up by Fox
right.
or CBS that they're doing some PR thing. I mean, if you just want to mention, I hear regular people all the time saying, the war really sucks, but I know a guy whose son is over there, and
right.
I pray for him every day.
Absolutely. And,
so?
And I think when you talk about, I don't know whether it's being more evolved, but I do think that we don't misplace our political agendas anymore
no.
as much as we used to. And I, you know, the guys that are over there, I mean, they're doing a job. That's
right.
what they're there for. That's what they signed up for. And whether they like it or not, they have to do their duty, and they're dying, and they're coming back in wounded. And I think we have to support those guys that are doing that. And most people,
I think
the overwhelming majority of people do that.
I think
absolutely.
I'm pretty proud of America in that regard, as opposed to, and I remember when my Uncle Jerry came back from Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
It was not cool for him to wear, like, his military clothes around town and stuff.
No,
not at all.
No.
It was like 69.
And it's not their fault. You're right. People have evolved past that. I talk about these numbers because regardless of how you feel about the war, we all agonize over the idea of thousands more young people from this country headed over there, especially this time of year in such an ugly environment. And this is happening just as we come off the deadliest month of the war for the U.S. 135 more American soldiers dead on top of the 1,250 who died before them.
I'm looking, you know, I often ponder this. What is too much?
Voter registration, meanwhile.
Well, he's talking about the losses
yeah,
of
yes,
the casualties.
Right. And he's right. Voter registration.
And Larry, when someone gets, you know, God forbid, killed or is shot over there.
That hurt.
Yeah.
It's a fact of life.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
Now, voter registration.
And Larry, what would you say to the soldiers over there?
You were not born. You were made in a toy factory.
Well, that doesn't make any sense at all, Larry.
What do you want most, Larry?
Oh, boy.
There you go. Now, that makes sense.
Voter registration in Iraq has come to a standstill in some parts of the country because of the continued fighting.
You know, it's just the concept of voter registration over in Iraq.
Larry of the corner.
Seeing the news footage is just, it blows me away. You know, I mean, what, do they go to the DMV?
I mean, it's totally weird.
They have places set up, but a lot of those places are shut down now because of the continued fighting.
You go down, listen.
I know.
Honey, I'm going out to vote and register, but listen, if the bomb goes off, I won't be back.
Right.
And they've got nothing like MTV where you've got, you know, Sean Combs saying,
no.
Yo, yo, yo.
Vote or die.
Yo, Iraq, what's up? Go to this website right now. Yo, yo.
Unbelievable.
Many Iraqis say safety is the only way to guarantee a democratic election, but quoting President Bush, it's time for Iraqi citizens to go to the polls. Oh, and don't forget, American troops are not allowed to receive gifts of porn or booze, even at Christmas, because of where they are. Homeland Security, meanwhile, begins at home. A Pennsylvania pilot who got drunk and used his plane to buzz a nuclear power plant has been sentenced to prison. 44-year-old John Alamone blew a 1.5 upon landing after a four-hour flight.
This ought to be fun.
I got hiccups.
Flight also took him way too close to six commercial jetliners.
I'll drink to that.
He'll do between 6 months and 2 years behind bars for that. But it wasn't until this case that Pennsylvania authorities realized they don't have a law against drunk flying. They're now working on changing that. The drunken pilot in this case, meanwhile, was convicted of risking a catastrophe and reckless endangerment. That they do have laws against.
Would you pull the plane over and step out of the plane, sir?
This is a booze cruise.
Americans are so fat. Many
how,
of them.
How
thank you.
Fat are we?
Hey, we're really fat.
Americans are so fat, many of them no longer fit into MRIs and other medical imaging. Like ultrasound and X-ray. The problem, another button slip, I'm guessing.
Yes.
The problem's gotten so bad, they're talking about it at a medical conference in Chicago. It's gotten so bad, a doctor from Boston's Mass General says the machine's makers, quote,
incredible!
Need to think about design changes to obtain quality imaging in larger patients.
Wow.
The number of cases of people being too fat for the equipment has doubled in the last 15 years.
I can't fit into my MRI.
That is simply unbelievable.
Where's the accessible MRI?
Hello!
Hi, baby.
Did you ever suck the jelly out of a jelly donut and then fill it with chocolate swirl ice cream?
Just in this country, here are the figures. 127 million people are overweight, but
do not eat pizza.
60 million people are obese and
not drink any alcoholic beverages. Do not eat butter, margarine, oils, lard, or fat of any kind.
We are going inside the dressing room of TV's Leah Remini, where she is meeting with her CBS consultant.
Yes.
Do not eat fried foods. Do not eat bread. Do not eat bananas, grapes, watermelon, or any fruits other than grapefruit or cantaloupe. Do not eat spaghetti or macaroni of any kind.
Leah.
Do not eat pizza.
Do not eat pizza.
Do not eat popcorn, potato chips, or pretzels. Do not eat puddings or custard.
What did she say? Nougat.
Ice cream, frozen custard, or frozen yogurt. Do not eat cookies, pies, cakes, pancakes, waffles, or any baked goods.
Nougat.
Do not eat chocolate, caramel, fudge, nougat.
Okay, there is some. I love the nougat.
60 million people in this country are obese. 9 million are severely obese.
Morbidly obese.
That's both of those groups over and above the 127 million people who are simply overweight.
Lighten up.
The meat might have been blessed by a rabbi, but what's happening at some slaughterhouses isn't kosher, according to PETA. The self-proclaimed animal rights group has secretly videotaped the workings of a kosher slaughterhouse in Des Moines, Iowa, including the gutting of live animals.
This is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
The gutting of live animals? PETA says the videotape shows on their website cutting open the animal and letting the entrails come out while the animal is still alive.
Oh, excuse me. Yes. Michael Alston?
Yes, yes, sir.
Here's my problem with this story, why I believe it's propaganda.
Okay, go ahead.
Where's this dateline on this story?
Iowa, yes.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Jews in Iowa. Right.
It's ridiculous.
Next story, please.
PETA isn't objecting to the killing, just the method, which it says is absolutely outrageous. It says some of the animals go through 3 or 4 minutes of hell before dying.
Describe hell. Try making a train on 7th Avenue when you've got a 9:30 meeting.
Well, that can be rough, but
that's hell.
Not as bad as having your entrails come out while you're alive.
Great wisdom from my friend the doctor.
The plant supervisor.
Thank you, attorney.
Thank you.
Thank you, counselor. You're welcome.
The supervisor. Rabbi.
Are you hanging out your shingle in Iowa?
Yes, as many times as I can. if we go one. We'll put as many offices in as many states as possible, consistent with quality.
The supervising rabbi at the slaughterhouse says the tape, the videotape from PETA, just proves that the slaughtering is being done correctly under Jewish law, which forbids stunning an animal before killing it for food. Jewish law, however, also says the animal's death must be instant and painless.
I still find it funny that there are Jewish people in Iowa.
That's very
in Iowa.
There's a rabbi at the plant.
In Iowa.
As much we know.
Ha ha.
They walk among us. One...
I think we just heard that story.
No, no, this is a different story. Moving on now. Oh. And it begins, they walk among us.
This is going to be really scary.
One in every 100 people in this country is a psychopath. Is there one where you work?
Forget it.
Mm-mm. Probably the least likely suspect, according to a professor at the University of British Columbia. He says the psychopath where you work is probably the snake in the suit who climbs the corporate ladder with the greatest of ease.
Hey, Todd Hughes. This is really going to be scary. I'm not kidding you this time.
White-collar psychopaths, he calls them, or American Psycho, if you remember your movies.
Right.
Yesterday.
That's the bone in the Sicilian Braille.
Right, like that. The professor told a conference in Belfast that corporate psychopaths use arrogance and superficial charm to get where they're going.
God, it's like an Infinity Broadcasting board meeting.
What haven't I done for you?
While knocking off anyone who gets in their way.
I know it's going to be scary. I'm not kidding you.
A corporate psycho, according to the professor, will defraud people of their life savings, then happily go to the Mediterranean and never give it a thought.
Wow.
That's like everybody here.
Yes,
like everybody with a suit here.
Amen.
And from our Whatever Happened To department, Jack Whitaker, the man who won a record $315 million Powerball jackpot.
Hey, Buzz?
Yes?
Whatever happened to that guy?
Hey, what happened?
What happened to that guy?
I'll tell you, you can take the boy out of West Virginia, but you can't take West Virginia out of the boy.
Here we go.
Bought himself a Hummer, got drunk, slammed it into a concrete median. Trooper wrote him up for DUI and carrying a pistol. Jack's been a busy boy since winning the $315 million. He says his car, his house, and his business have been broken into several times each.
Have you seen the videotape of this guy?
I have.
Okay.
Isn't he an old guy?
Yeah, they rerun it over and over with this DUI thing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was when he won the lottery.
Right.
He has got the white trash, almost looks like an oil man, used car salesman type
right.
suit. He's got the big, giant Bud Adams, J.R.
Oh, I have seen the cowboy hat.
Cheap cowboy hat.
Right.
And he's cutting a cake that looks like it made in a three-day, this cake has been made for 3 days at Giant Eagle. Buy it now or we're going to give it to a homeless shelter.
Sure.
And in real cheap icing, it says, newest millionaire. and it's him at his happiest.
Right.
Yeah,
well.
He's cutting the slice of this cake and he's thinking, Am I going to eat this? I'm going to eat a piece that's a mile wide.
It's mile wide.
Things have gone south since he cut that cake. Back in January, he was arrested for assaulting a bar manager. In September, a dead body was found on his property. It was natural causes, and Jack was out of town at the time, but still. Now he's hit a median and been written up for DUI.
Man, I tell you, money can't buy you happiness.
And I'm telling you, this guy, I know I'm going old school. He looks like the guy, who's the guy that used to be the coach of the Oilers?
Bum Phillips,
Mike.
Right.
With the crew cut and the big straw cowboy hat. That's just who this guy looks like.
Just dumb as a box of cotton balls.
And whatever happened to Cato Kaelin? The former O.J. Simpson sidekick now works for the National Lampoon Network in comedy development.
Hey, I hear CBS is thinking about hiring him to replace Stern.
Oh, fantastic.
If you don't laugh, you cry. He says he's working on a female Animal House movie shot in Miami with Paris Hilton.
That's brilliant.
After a brief stint in radio, Kaelin's now hosting a show on Lampoon's cable TV network. And he's dating a lingerie model who will be turning up soon in either Playboy or Penthouse.
Cato?
Quoting Cato, no more O.J., it's all about entertainment.
Cato!
The citizens of Boston are going to start seeing pro-marijuana ads on the sides of their city buses.
Want to get high?
An appeals court says the MTA's decision...
When are you moving?
What, just to see the ads? No, no need to move. Let me know when the ads have done some good, then we'll talk. An appeals court says the MTA's decision to ban the ad violates the advertiser's right to free speech.
Now, put it on the side of the bus, dude.
The MTA said, yes, but we shouldn't encourage kids to smoke pot. The judge told the MTA if it feels that strongly about kids, it should not continue to carry ads for beer and hard liquor on the sides of the bus.
I don't hear you unless you knock.
Thank you, Curtis.
Here in the nation's capital, meanwhile, transit officials can't have much of a clue about what it's like to ride the Metro since most of them never have.
That's our subway here. They don't call it a subway. They call it Metro. And it is without a doubt... The clean.
It is a great system. It's a good system.
The cleanest, most user-friendly subway system.
But not fast.
And the Washington Post says a majority
of... All right, now you're splitting hairs. I mean, what do you want? Cleaner, fast?
Boy, that's a trade-off, you know.
Because we've been on the subways in New York. Those are fast and dirty.
They're fast and dirty.
And they smell like number one.
Right. I want clean, I want fast, and I want orange leather chairs.
Yeah, give them to us.
Okay, Oompa Loompa.
That's right.
The Washington Post says a majority of the transit system's directors, the folks who make policy for the system, have never ridden the subways or buses. Never. Not even once. Not that they can remember, anyway. About half the directors say they ride occasionally or rarely, and they could ride free if they wanted, but why should they take mass transit when they're getting free reserved parking at Metro headquarters downtown?
I just wouldn't mind a couple of express trains. That's all I'm saying.
Some board members didn't want to say how much or how little they've ridden, claiming that disclosing that would violate their privacy.
All I know
give
is
me an express train.
I keep having a dream about the subway.
Really?
It was the end of the tunnel, comes out of the... And I wake up, and I'm in a field of bananas.
Is that before or after you start falling?
Yes.
Yes.
Don't know what that means.
Buzz?
Yes, when we come back...
There you go.
Husbands killing wives, and vice versa.
Well, Rob, stop that. Beware, Don Geronimo.
Hi there.
Don Geronimo.
Guilty as charged.
Oh, dear. Dear me.
Bus, beware, Don Geronimo.
Oh, we're in the world of sickness now.
That's funny.
Michael Elston as Buzz Burbank.
With news about spouses killing each other.
He's a member. Yeah. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Don't be hating the Don and Mike Show.
Blue Skies. Oh, Blue Skies. Here we go. And it's Guy Burnley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
In Portland, Oregon, a woman is only going to prison for 3 years, even though she tried to kill her husband by putting rat poison in his tacos and prescription pills in his soda.
Well, now she should fry.
These are not the best tacos I've ever had.
She should fry like bacon.
No, she's getting a light sentence because that's what her husband begged of the judge. Quoting him.
What's his problem?
This is a quote from the man. Listen, Rob. The quote from the man is...
Listen, Rob.
No. The quote is, knowing Carrie, my wife...
This doesn't quite fit.
The sentence, he says, is too heavy. Exact quote.
Didn't Frida just make you a taco salad of some sort?
She did on Monday night.
I'll be darned.
Man, that was a delicious taco salad, and I can't feel my legs.
I'm tired.
Taco seasoning, best way to cover rat poison.
You're crazy.
You are a very compassionate man, said the judge to the husband who begged forgiveness. The couple plans to stay married and get counseling.
Wow.
You freaking idiot!
That's when you might want to think about other alternatives.
You freaking idiot!
In France, a man who...
Hold on, Bob Barker wants to say something as well. Yes, Bob?
You're an idiot!
Okay, thank you, Bob.
Now, in France...
You freaking idiot!
A man...
Hey, all right.
You're an idiot!
A Frenchman who blinded his wife while trying to kill her isn't going to prison at all.
Bonjour!
Hold on!
Life sentence avoided. His 5-year sentence suspended. In this case, it was the missus who came forward publicly and again in court to beg for an acquittal. Jean-Claude confessed to shooting his wife with a hunting rifle.
Bonjour!
But he said he was just trying to end an unbearable situation, not kill her. Quoting his wife, quoting his wife, he was desperate. I know he did not want to murder me.
Write it down.
That makes sense.
They bought it.
Yeah.
Frenchman.
The jury.
Let's go back to France.
Just one more time.
One more time. We only need to buy two round trip tickets.
That's right.
We can buy
two one ways.
Two one ways. Two round trips.
You'll always have Paris. You can share the rifle. The jury's been selected and sworn in. They are now ready for the wife killing trial of actor Robert Blake to begin on Monday.
Oh, that trial we like so bad.
Man, that's the place I like so bad.
Yeah.
Right now, it don't matter to me. I'd stay in this orange jumpsuit till the day I die, Don. That's right. Nobody cares. No letters from nobody, no how. From my brother, my father, my mother.
Your mother.
Nobody cares about me right now. They all are paying attention at Scott Peterson. I said, it's always the other guy.
We're still waiting.
Always the other guy.
Still waiting to hear about Scott, by the way.
Yeah, that's all you care about, the other guy.
The seven, no, we care about you. We're going to be talking a lot about you.
I sure as hell hope so.
The seven men and five women will hear the opening statements from both sides on Monday. The 71-year-old Blake's wife, Bonnie Lee Bakley, was shot to death on May 4th.
Bonnie Lee!
BWA!
May 4th, 2001.
I would have rather have her live.
Technically,
I would have rather had her live. And incidentally, sure. I'd like to say farewell to that anchor man, Dan Ratter.
Do you know it took them almost, almost a year to find people who claimed that they knew nothing about this trial?
Right.
An incredibly long amount of time to get a jury together for this thing.
Well, I just hope they go on the defense that I'm mounting. The reason she's dead?
Why?
She was a bladder mouth. That's right. A bladder mouth.
From our It's Greek to Me.
Kind of rhymes with Ratter.
Dan Ratter. I tell him the same thing.
What?
She was a blattermouth.
From our It's Greek to Me department, the government and the people of the island nation of Greece are not happy about the new Colin Farrell movie, Alexander the Great.
Buddy.
Director Oliver Stone, in the interest of historical accuracy, included Al's bisexuality, a passionate male embrace, some talk about a man's thighs, and a shot of full frontal male nudity.
Anything you and your conqueror do in the privacy of your own home is okay with me.
It's Alexander.
Hey, thanks, Don and Mike. A stellar job today, I might add.
The Greeks say Oliver Stone's gay twist on Alexander is not historically accurate. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But they are planning on suing over it.
Yeah, we're going to attack with elephants. Elephants.
As evidence, the Greeks point to Colin Farrell's wavy blonde hair and waxed legs as if pointing was really necessary.
Or
polite.
Yes, sir, sir.
Wax your legs.
One newspaper calls the movie Queer Eye for the Macedonian Guy.
Stinky tuna fish.
Currently, there are four movies in theaters featuring full frontal male nudity. Happy Holidays from Hollywood.
Yeah, power boats and sailboats.
Lawman.
Yeah, my daddy.
Korean radio station.
My dog Blue.
But yeah.
Buddy.
And it wouldn't be Alabama if a state lawmaker wasn't proposing to ban every school library book.
There's a guy, incidentally, who's just begging for anybody from any... He doesn't care if it's terrestrial radio or satellite radio. Here's the guy that just goes out on his front porch every night and just... Hey, please, God, somebody call me.
Waddle-daddle-doo.
Everybody's going...
I'll come back to pick you up later.
Yes, everybody. Sir. Everybody's going somewhere except the all-new Greeks Man Show.
Okay with me.
Maybe I'll fall back on my acting. Yeah.
In sports, Yankee slugger Jason Giambi admitted to using steroids when he talked to a grand jury a year ago this month. The story has just come out in today's San Francisco Chronicle. The story says Giambi claimed he got the steroids from Barry Bonds.
Giambi. I know you like Giambi. I know you like saying Giambi because
he used to be on the Pee Wee's Playhouse,
It's Giambi.
Giambi. All right, if you insist. He says he got the steroids from Barry Bonds' personal trainer. If all this is true, it would be the first time a current star player's admitted knowingly taking steroids.
What team does he play for?
The Yankees.
No one on the Red Sox takes steroids.
Absolutely not.
Here's the thing about Jason Giambi. And I apologize if you have this in your story. I don't know. I was reading on ESPN.com. He's such a retard about this.
Mm-hmm.
The Jason Giambi said, I never really took the pills. Mm-hmm. It was a cream, and then it was a lotion that I put underneath my tongue. So when he would go to make the deals to get his steroids, he would call the guy up and he'd say, I need some of that cream stuff, and I need some lotion.
Wait, you missed. Also, he injected it into his buttocks. He would inject it into himself.
Now, see, that they didn't have on ESPN.
He had the cream that you mentioned. He would rub into himself, and then he had a clear liquid of drops that he would place under his tongue. Yeah.
And, that's, and he didn't think he was taking steroids because he was only rubbing a cream into his biceps and only putting these drops under his tongue. But see, they didn't have to think about it.
Thank you.
He says he also took the human growth hormone in addition to the steroids.
Mecha-leka high, mecha-hiney-ho.
Man, am I angry.
Giambi says Bonds' trainer never gave him reason to believe that Bonds was taking steroids, too. Yeah, never mentioned it.
Right.
And finally, an elderly driver caused an ugly wreck on an 80-mile-an-hour expressway in eastern France.
Don, you are on the air, sir.
This guy's even older. Police are blaming the 78-year-old's misunderstanding of his car's global positioning computer. It's a miracle, really, that no one got hurt. In its computer voice, the satellite navigation system told the driver to make a U-turn immediately. So he did.
Oh, my.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, buddy.
That's it. We got to go.
Go.
Ron and Fezzi coming up next. On WJFK at Live 105 and The Buzz in Tampa Bay. Ron and Fez are good. Listen to their show. We'll be back tomorrow.
Yay.
With another one. Good day to you, sir.
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 For everything about this show officially, please go to Don and Mike website.com. And you.
Rendezvous from France.
Just buy two tickets for me and you. Take a knee.
When we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.